Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Hang on. Feeling it. Hang on a minute. Hang on. I was going to sing Birdhouse in Your Soul, but the computer's the moment's gone, Alan! The moment's gone!
Oh no!
The moment's gone, Alan.
Oh dear!
You're sucking what little energy there is out of the show.
Well, let me try and boost it in some way.
Well, please do. Maybe with I don't know enthusiasm.
Well, it's Wednesday night. This is Talk Radio. It's Ian Lee live on Wednesday evening. 844-499-1000. We call you back. You can talk about anything.
My computer's gone to cock. It started. Listen, it started playing Van Morrison now.
You can't beat Van the Man.
Well, you can. You can beat Van the Man. Oh, what an awful start to the show, Alan. Let's be honest. We're only 2 minutes in. You sound like you've got three dicks in your mouth tonight, which is two more than usual. You sound like you've got no enthusiasm. I'm trying to manufacture enthusiasm like some crazy kind of drug factory.
Because, well...
What?
We've both been on BBC Radio today.
I've certainly been on a BBC Radio Jersey. What station have you been on?
WM.
Turncoat!
No, Danny Kelly.
Turncoat!
Fundraising.
Turncoat!
I'll do a bit of promotion.
You're a turncoat!
I'm not a turncoat.
You're a turncoat! You've gone back to them after the way they treated me! Turncoat!
No, it was personal gain, actually.
Personal gain?
Personal gain to get more fundraising.
How much money have you raised so far?
£180.
Sweet Lord!
I'm back in 3 days.
Wowzers! That's a lot of money.
All to be quiet for 12 hours.
Okay, well, again, that doesn't really seem like... Unless you're six, that doesn't really seem like much of a challenge.
Well, it is for me, because I'm always talking.
Well, you are a gob, so-and-so, and, yes, that is correct.
I'm always one to elicit a challenge.
L'amour de la maison. Do you know what that means?
I didn't do French at school.
It means the sexy house.
Ooh,
l'amour de la maison.
Tonight.
Yeah. When have you ever been to a sex... What's the sexiest house, l'amour de maison, that you have ever been in? Because you know when you're a kid, right?
Yeah.
And you go to your friends' houses, right?
Yeah.
Their houses are all a little bit different from yours, aren't they? They smell different.
The layout's different.
They'll have different rules about whether you're allowed to put your feet on the furniture or not. Or
if you've got to take your shoes off.
Have you got to take your shoes off? Are you allowed to smear feces on the wall? They have different rules.
I can relate to that.
I can relate to that. I think it's something we can all relate to, because I think we've all been to someone else's house, haven't we?
Yeah. Well, I went to a lottery winner's house.
Excuse me?
Well, I went to the house which looked like someone had won the lottery.
Well, hang on a second. Already, you've said... You've given me the headline of a story twice... And within the second, with the retelling of that headline, already it's a lot less interesting than the initial. You're clickbait. You're human clickbait. That's what you are. You're a turncoat clickbait. Great name for a band, by the way, guys.
That's another topic we could have. Great name for band.
Turncoat clickbait.
Ooh.
So have you been...
9-1-1-1-1.
Have you been, Alan, to a lottery winner's house, or... Have you been to a house that looks like someone could have bought it with lottery money?
It was the second one.
I'm going to have to cut you off, Alan.
Thank you.
There you go. That's a strange... I was going to start... I'm not going to do it now, because the moment's gone. I was going to start with this. But I'm not going to do it now. No, I'm begging me. Everyone's begging me. Oh, go on, Ian, sing it. No, I'm not going to do it now. I'm not going to do it. It's not meant to be. Good evening, dear listener. Thank you to Jonathan. Thank you to Asherton. This is Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio. It's Wednesday night. I was struggling to remember what day it was today. Do you know, you are? I think there's a thing called, I'm just inventing it, called Wednesday blindness, where you don't want it to be a Wednesday, but it is a Wednesday, so you have to go along with that. And I was convinced, I was coming in the studio and I'm setting up and I'm convinced it's a Thursday. I'm thinking it's a Thursday. Oh, it's not. It's a Wednesday. Because if it's a Thursday, I'd have been swimming with the kids this morning, then we'd have gone to the lookout centre. And no, we're doing that tomorrow. We're doing that tomorrow. And we are going swimming tomorrow. And it's the first time I've been swimming since I got, like, proper fat. Proper fat. You know what I mean? And I look disgusting. Now, I know there are lots of women and gay men and straight men and gay women and all the different shades of gender and sexuality are going, no, Ian, you don't. You look brilliant. Well, that's very kind. But I think I look fat and disgusting, man. Now, I'm not saying that all fat people are disgusting. That would be completely inappropriate, and I certainly don't believe it. But I look grim. And it's the first time I've been swimming since I've put on a lot of weight, and I'm kind of dreading it. Dreading it. And also, when you go swimming with the kids who are 6 and 4, soon to be, get this, 7 and 5. Jeez, where's my life going? You don't actually, 0844-499-1000, by the way, if you want to call in, you don't actually get much time. There's no swimming involved. For me, there's very little swimming. There will be me spinning them around, me saying that we have to get out of the hot tub now because some people want to come in and use it for the purpose for which it was intended. There'll be me taking them, there's like a secret tunnel. It's not secret. It's not a secret tunnel in the swimming pool, but it's like a passageway with bubbles and, you know, water pours on your head. And I will have my youngest clinging onto my neck, his arms around my neck, and I'll be going, Daddy can't breathe! Daddy can't breathe! Let go of me! So we'll be doing that in the morning. That's tomorrow morning. Then in the afternoon, we're going to the Lookout Centre, a place where we go quite a lot. And only the last time I went, it's quite expensive. The last time I went, I realised that if I got membership for the three of us, within 4 visits, we'd make our money back and be in profit. And I wish someone had told me that, I don't know, maybe 3 years ago, because I would have saved a fortune. Just a reminder, the show was going to start like this, but it's not happening. It's not happening, guys. I'm sorry. Quell your excitement. Quell your anger. Yes, write angry letters to Rupert Murdoch. Why the hell not? Probably got an email. I'm guessing his email is rupert.murdoch@thesun.co.uk. It's a guess, but worth a punt, isn't it? It's worth a punt, isn't it? 0844-499-1000 is the telephone number. You may have gathered, Gatford, that I don't really have a theme for this evening's show. Just kind of. I'm sitting here, leaning forward, lights down low. Where there's a red vibe going on in the studio, and I'm
Shoes off.
Shoes always off. Shoes off, watch off.
Yeah, shoes off, yeah.
Shoes off, watch off, always. And I'm just leaning forward, and I'm just talking, and this is genuinely what's happening. I'm just talking in the hope that something sticks. Do you know what I mean?
May I make a suggestion?
Please do. I'm going to swig some water while you do.
Put the watch on, put the shoes on, see if it helps.
No, mate. Never does.
Okay.
It never does. There's something about, you know, Brian Wilson, right, from the Beach Boys, right?
I've heard of him. Yeah,
he was bonkers, right? I don't think we're going to have to call it that now. And
but
to
we are.
As he became more and more isolated in his mental illness, stroke, drug fueled frenzy.
Yeah,
he had, so he didn't have to go down to the beach to write songs. He had a giant sandpit installed in his living room and had his grand piano in the sandpit. And when he was writing songs, he would go in there with his shoes and socks off. He'd feel the sand on his feet, and he'd write. He'd write, you know, kind of songs about California. And if any songwriters came to collaborate with him, they would also have to do this. They'd have to indulge his, you know, what at the time was seen as an eccentricity. It was probably drug-induced nonsense. And they would take their shoes and socks off. Now, the other songwriters, the lyricists, stopped doing this once they realise that Brian Wilson's two dogs, Banana and Louie, were dumping in the sandpit and nobody was cleaning it up.
I would have refused on principle. When people ask me to take my shoes off because of the carpet, I refuse and walk out.
No, really?
Yeah.
I find it...
I don't always walk out, but I say, I don't really want to.
But then you wouldn't be allowed in my... You wouldn't be allowed upstairs in my house.
So I am allowed downstairs?
Yeah. We don't have carpet downstairs.
So I'll be around tomorrow?
When I was growing up...
That sounded like an invitation.
When I was growing up... It was very, very unusual for people to ask you to take your shoes off when you went in.
Yeah,
very unusual.
Never happened.
People who had ideas above their station would do it. But now, I find it the norm.
I still find it very untasteful because when I go out, I wear socks and shoes.
Yeah, of course.
Both.
Yeah.
Well. So what's the difference? Why is it more suitable for me to take off my shoes when I come into your home?
Well, because your socks won't have trod on spit or poo or anything like that.
But my socks have been on my feet,
yeah,
which at the moment are not the most glamorous part of
me. I would rather, I admit,
the shoes are designed to be worn.
I would rather...
What if I had chosen on that particular day...
For the listeners just wondering why there was a little... I dumped that bit, dear listeners. Yeah, I swore at Gatford.
You just kind of swore generally, weren't
you? Yeah.
Fair enough. But if I was wearing the flip-flops with no socks, what would you feel like then?
Would you
want me to keep the flip-flops on or come in?
You can come in. You just can't go upstairs.
Fair enough. Well, have you got a downstairs toilet?
Yeah, but there's no door on it at the moment.
Well, that's okay. I can whistle.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, dearie, me. No, there's no door in our downstairs toilet. I don't know why.
Why is that?
I don't know. Where's that gone? I don't know where it's gone. There was one. And then we had it done. And then they didn't put the door back on. What the hell is that about?
Who are they and where have they gone?
The builders and the plumbers. Those guys.
Can't you do it? You're a man. Can't you?
No, God, no.
I'd offer to come round, but I can't do it.
Okay. What have you called in for, Gats?
Well, the shoe thing annoyed me.
Yeah.
So that was okay. Numero uno.
Yes.
Because I feel exposed without the shoes.
Yeah.
Vulnerable.
I often wear socks with holes in.
Well, me too, because I'm terrible at mending socks.
But I don't... Well, no one darns their socks anymore. As soon as the socks go, they get chucked away. No one darns them. It's a terrible throwaway society. And when the big nuclear bombs come, we'll all be screwed, because no one will be able to recycle anything. Well, recycling now means you put it in a green bin. But, of course, back in the day, people would have recycled things themselves.
Oh, no. Where my parents live, they've got four bins for recycling.
Oh, blimey. It's true.
So one big black bin,
yeah,
and then four boxes.
Don't call them black bins.
Dark bins.
Here we go.
Then four other bins of different colours for your different, and that's just confusing.
Yeah,
I don't want to. I don't really want to be in a world.
Oh, we're talking about recycling bins. Just because I've been on BBC local radio today, it doesn't mean we have to stoop to their level.
All right, then you pick the topic. I'll talk about it.
How about goodbye, Gatford? There we go. 0844 499 1000. I've got nothing to talk about tonight. We'll have a little look in some of the papers. And I'll just keep talking and hope that something sticks and something may not stick. And that's fine as well.
The wild man of late night radio is back.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
As you know, we get... Here's the thing, right? Kath and I get so many members... You know we share the offices with Talk Sport, right? So there's Talk Radio and then there's Talk Sport. And on Talk Sport now is Jason Cundy... And Andy Goldstein. My own, completely blank there. And they would never mention this show on their show because they're scared that they've got loads of listeners and we've not got many, right? And that's fair enough. And they're both really decent blokes, really decent blokes. I was a bit unsure about Jason to start with, if I'm completely honest, because he's a foreigner to me in terms of I know nothing about his world. But ever since I gave him a lift to go and pick up his car, I thought, actually, what a decent bloke. And they're both really nice blokes and very funny, right? And very enjoyable. And but what's pleasing from an ego point of view, 0844 499 1000, is quite often I'll get people tweeting saying, oh, I used to listen to Cundy and Goldstein, but I'm a bit bored of that, so I found you. Brilliant. You're all welcome. And it's nice to have you. Some of you say mean things about them too as well. Don't do that. There's no kind of rivalry like that there. But what's even more pleasing is when members of the Talk Sport staff come up to us and go, I'm really enjoying the show, Ian. It's just nice to, you know, sometimes get a break from football. We get that quite a bit. We had a fella tonight. Me and Kath were in the kitchen having our supper. But he says, oh, all right, Ian, nice to meet you. I'm a big fan of the show. I listen with my kid. And, yeah, it's just nice to get a break from the sport every now and then. That's people that work for that station. So if you're a TalkSport member of staff and you're listening to Talk Radio, well done. Well done. I can't say nothing about it. Well done. So as you know, 0844 499 1000, I don't know nothing about sports, right? Don't know nothing about sports. And I got sucked in to the 2012 Olympics. I kind of got sucked into all the argy-bargy of it. And I went and saw Paralympic weightlifters and stuff. And I got kind of sucked into it. 2016 Olympics in Rio, I couldn't give a stuff about. It didn't interest me at all. Because it was on at a silly time of night, I didn't see anything. Didn't see anything, right. But well done, all those guys and gals. But they've had recently two parades for the Olympians and the Paralympians. Two parades, one in Manchester and one in London, right? Loads of people turned out to go and see them in the pouring rain. Well done. It must have been wonderful for those athletes and their families to see all that support. And that's great. I'm not knocking that in the slightest. But I found two heroes. Have you seen this story about the parade? Oh, I love this. Oh, I love this. In fact, see if you can find these people on Facebook, Kath. Zach Alsop, A-L-S-O-P, or Jamie Rawsthorne. They're both 21. See if we can find them and get them on the show. This is brilliant, right? This is what Britain is great at. It's in all the papers. Two pranksters sneaked onto the Team GB homecoming parade float by posing as Olympic gold medal winners. Oh, God. Isn't that beautiful? And we're all thinking, oh, I wish I'd done that. And not one of you is angry that they've done that. You can't be. It's just so beautiful. It's just beautiful. Zach Alsop and Jamie Rawsthorne are our new heroes. Both 21, they're only lads. They're young lads having a bit of a laugh, doing what Britain is best at, winding people up. Both 21, and they've really gone for it, right? They've really done well. Both 21 wore replica kits and plastic medals to climb on the float in Manchester with genuine athletes on Monday. Oh, it's so delicious. I want to talk to these two lads. I want to know at what point they thought they were going to do it. Was it the night before? They've bought the outfit, so there has to be a little bit of planning involved. Couldn't have been a completely spontaneous thing. And you just imagine them on Monday morning getting dressed up. I'm going, are we actually going to do this? We are actually going to do this. The pair managed to dodge security and police to mingle with the Olympics heroes as thousands lined the street to cheer their Rio triumph. Oh, this is brilliant. This is brilliant. Can someone try and find me the clip? They're on Sky News. We'll have a little look. It'll be on YouTube. We'll have a little look. They were only rumbled by a Sky News journalist who asked Jamie how he'd won his medal. Jamie said, "So that was the Olympics. Sorry, the fencing in the Olympics." Asked if it was a blagging Olympics, he admitted, "A bit of one, yeah. We just bought the kit, got the medals, and just thought we'd give it a go. We blag something every now and then." Oh, man! These people, have you got them? Beautiful. Get in touch. Send them a message. Get them on the show. They are heroes. Are you talking to them now? Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. They might be coming on. How exciting is that? These are legends. These are proper legends. Zach of Radstock, Somerset, said on Facebook, "Mum, I made it." But sports fans, oh, here we go. Here we go. The people ruining it for everybody by complaining about security. Oh, here we go. I've just found the clip. Hang on. Have a listen to this.
Quickly, guys, what did you... Andy, just frame up very quickly.
Yeah.
What did you win?
So that was the Olympics. The fencing in the Olympics. Yeah.
Was it a blagging Olympics, was it?
Oh, a bit of one, yeah. We just kind of bought the kit.
We
just
went,
what medal? Oh. Yeah, so we got the medal and we just thought, you know, we'll give it a go. We actually got ushered on. It was actually completely against our will. But...
So you're a couple of blaggers, aren't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Blag something every now and then, but... Right. We're going to get off at the next stop.
Well, we've got to get off.
Oh, the scrumpy bokun from Sky. You're blaggers, aren't you? He should have been saying, guys, these two have just blagged their way on. They're legends. Zach of Radstock, Somerset, said on Facebook, "Mum, I made it." But sports fans questioned how they got so close to athletes like Jessica Ennis-Hill, with one tweeting, "Pretty ropey security." Oh, shut up, you complete melt. The British Olympic Association said, "We are disappointed anyone would want to detract from the athlete celebration." Oh, come on, guys. It's hardly like ISIS got on there. And do you know what I mean? It's two blokes having a little bit of a laugh, seeing if they could chance their arm. And they did chance their arm, and it paid off. Absolute heroes, as far as I'm concerned. And do you know what? In a minute, we might be speaking to them.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Guys, what did you... Andy, just frame up very quickly.
Yeah.
What did you win?
So that was the Olympics. The fencing in the Olympics.
Was it a blagging Olympics, was it?
Oh, a bit of one, yeah. We just kind of bought the kit.
Medal.
We just went, what medal? Yeah, so we got the medal and we just thought, you know, we'll give it a go. We actually got ushered on. It was actually completely against our will. But...
So you're a couple of blaggers, aren't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Blag something every now and then, but... Right. We're going to get off at the next stop.
Well, we've got to get off.
Unbelievable. What a grumpy Sky reporter. That was, I think that was Jamie Rawsthorne talking. This is how, well done, Catherine. I mean, look, we got Zach Allsop on the line. Evening, Zach.
Hello, how you doing?
Oh, mate, listen, I've got to say, you know, you, sir, I'm sure your friends have told you this, you, sir, are a legend.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Listen, I've got to ask, when did you and Jamie decide that you were going to do this?
Do you know what? Not actually that long ago. It was probably about a month ago. Jamie kind of rang me up all excited. He's from Manchester, so he's kind of loving it, the fact that the Olympic parade was coming to his hometown, basically. So he was like, right, we need to do something. You need to come up. So at which point I was like, well, why don't you just try and get on the bus? Like, it was pretty much the first thought that came into my head, because we'd been doing similar things at festivals throughout the summer. So it was kind of like, it was already on the cards by that point. So, yeah, so, I mean, the planning started with 2 weeks to go, basically, so not actually that much.
So, hang on, what stuff have you done at festivals then?
So, at the beginning of summer, we kind of went to a few gigs down in Bristol, and we managed to get backstage and meet a few of our favourite rappers.
Yeah.
That kind of escalated a little bit into sneaking into festivals, then getting backstage once we're in there. And, I mean, we've done various, like, different festivals throughout the year, so we've been kind of filming and documenting the whole process.
Oh.
And just... I kind of gathered a lot of good footage, really.
We'll talk about the video in a second. How do you do it then? Because I'm terrible at blagging stuff. I get all nervous and uncomfortable. How do you do it? What do you say?
Do you know what? Like every time you go through like a little phase of doubting yourself, and you're like, oh, maybe we're going to get rumbled soon enough. But I just don't know. I think it's a lot to do with human psychology. Like,
yeah.
By no means I'm an expert, but if you've got like an outfit which looks legitimate and you don't give anyone a reason to question you, it's mostly about confidence, to be honest, and we kind of developed that kind of thick-skinned kind of attitude towards it.
All right, so you decided you were going to do this, you were going to get on the bus. You just went out and bought the kit and the fake medals, did you?
Yeah, there's a lot of, let me just clear up the talk about the medals. They were not plastic, by the way, the sun. So they were not plastic. They were actually high-quality replicas from eBay.
Well, so I'm glad you've got that, because it says here, Prankster's plastic medals. It just goes to show
it may be
Britain's greatest newspaper, but they get the facts wrong.
Yeah, no, exactly. I'll tell you what, I met Will.i.am from Black Eyed Peas later on in the evening, and I guess he owns a lot of gold jewellery. He couldn't tell the difference. He picked it up, it had a lot of weight behind it, and he couldn't tell. So
hang on, hang on a minute. Did you convince Will.i.am that you're an Olympic gold medalist?
Oh, yeah, he loved the fact. He's not sure he knew what fencing was, but he loved the fact that we were Olympians.
Why did you pick fencing?
Well, there is actually some thought behind this. One, because
of course there
it's
is.
Not the most popular sport, and two, because they all wear masks. So at one point, we were actually in a bar, and we managed to bag ourselves some free drinks, and they started Googling us right in front of us. And we were like, oh, geez, we're going to get kicked out soon. But they kind of looked up and was like, oh, my God, I love, like, the masks. Like, they have the Great Britain flag on and everything. And we were like... Oh, yeah. Good touch, that was, yeah.
How did you get on the bus?
So, we kind of... Jamie Slatt was just down the road from the start point. So,
yeah.
We basically got kitted up, just stood over. We had 10 minutes to go, and we kind of got mobbed by people on the way wanting photos of us and stuff, so we nearly missed it. Kind of rocked up right near the bottom kind of area where the buses were all lined up, and... We just kind of passed through the fence, and the security, like, waved us through. So I think it was, like, the last minute kind of worked in our favour. So a lot of athletes were, like, running back and forth to the toilets and stuff. So we kind of, like, blended in quite well.
You got on the bus.
Yep.
And, I mean, it must have been a bit of a buzz, because there are thousands of people there cheering you.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could have taken it in, like, more than I did. The whole thing felt like about 10 seconds long. As soon as we got on the bus, like, we were questioned immediately by the modern pentathletes, who obviously knew everyone in the team.
Yeah.
So we kind of stuck out like sore thumbs. So they kind of came over to us and were like, oh, guys, you might be on the wrong kind of bus. what sport do you do? And we came up with fencing, because I personally didn't know that fencing was part of the modern pentathlete kind of repertoire. So they were like, as soon as I said fencing, the look on their faces changed. I knew I'd made a kind of grave mistake, because we got bombarded with questions about what kind of swords we use and all this kind of stuff we just didn't have a clue about.
And then when did the grumpy sky man talk to you?
So that was probably 5 minutes down the road. So the pentathlete team were like really on board with us being there. They loved it, and they were like, right, let's kind of get you guys on Sky News. So
they were on side.
Oh, yeah, they were in on it. Yeah,
oh, beautiful! Oh, naughty athletes! Mean... Well done!
Yeah, so we probably would have, we would have definitely got off the bus if they kind of had an issue with it. But,
yeah.
I mean, we chatted to them and they were really cool with it.
Yeah.
So they said, like, let's get you on Sky News now. So by that point, the whole kind of, everyone on the float knew that we weren't meant to be there.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like he played it off as if we didn't know that he knew, but everyone on the bus knew. So right. He was kind of trying to make us look stupid, basically, but, yeah.
Oh, is that so miserable? Oh, you're blagging it, are you? You're blaggers, are you? Miserable git, come on,
yeah,
lighten up.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
And then you both buckle a little bit and you go, well, we're probably going to get off at the next stop. Did you get off or did you stay on?
Oh, yeah, no, we did. So we kind of realised at that point we didn't want to stick around for too long. We thought by that point the athletes had already invited us to the after party. So we were like, right, we kind of had our fun here. We've got enough footage for the video.
Yeah.
So we'll meet you guys later. And they're like, yeah, cool. Like, cheers for doing that. Like, nice to meet you. And then we kind of, yeah, we hopped off of the Skyman and just kind of dived into the crowd and blended back in then.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And then you got to the drinks in the evening. Any other celebrity? You didn't meet any royalty, did you?
Oh, no. No.
Okay, well,
the party was good. The afterparty was very good. Obviously, Will.i.am was a highlight and kind of... The whole night was a bit of a blur, to be honest.
And this video, so you've been filming... How many times do you reckon you've done this, then?
This summer, probably seven different festivals, met, like, crazy amount of amazing musicians and rappers and artists and stuff.
It's the coolest... I don't know. What are you at work? Are you students? What are you up to?
So me and Jamie both graduated from Bristol Uni in May.
Yeah.
So Jamie's running his own business and I'm kind of just doing videography stuff. So a few weeks back I was at a festival and I'd done the same thing, met a few bands and rap groups like the Four Owls and Laid Black, and they kind of said, well, if you've got all this footage, let's use it. So I've been making videos for kind of musicians and kind of things like that recently. So.
Oh, brilliant. And listen, have you got stuff online? I want to send people your way. Is all this stuff online they can come and see?
Yeah, so the Olympic video is the first one on the channel, so the festival videos are coming very soon.
What's the channel?
Everything can be found on Jib. It's J-I-B on YouTube.
J-I-B? Hang on a minute. I'll just make sure I get it, because I'm going to tweet it. Oh, that's the name of the channel. So is it youtube.com/jib?
I'm not sure.
No, I never know how it works. YouTube's...
It's probably easier if you just type in a video name. So the video name is I spent a day as an Olympic athlete, or I became an Olympic athlete for a day or something.
All right, hang on. Hang on a minute. We're going to find it, and I'm going to tweet it now. So,
thanks so much, sir.
Oh, no, listen, well, tell you what, I can't find it. I'm going to find it during the next break. Zach, thank you so much, A, for coming on at short notice. Catherine literally just found you on Facebook because we were reading the story. Thank you for doing this. We need more people like you doing this kind of stuff, man.
Thank you very much. I'm
honestly, I think it's hilarious. Next time you do it, let us know, won't you? And not that we condone sneaking into things or breaking the law or anything like that. But I think you're an absolute legend. So thank you, Zach, and send our best on to Jamie.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, mate. Yeah. Keep in touch. Keep his details, Catherine. Well, I'll find his video and we'll tweet it, and you can find the channel. Wow. That's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what being alive is about. Well done, Catherine, for finding him as well. That's what being alive is about, is doing stuff like that.
Uncut after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation. Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I've just tweeted the link to Zach's video channel. I do urge you to subscribe, or at least watch it, and if you enjoy it, share it, because that is what were you doing when you were 21? I certainly wasn't, you know, making funny videos, funny, imaginative, creative. And what was interesting about talking to Zach, it's not mean at all. And the newspapers and the Sky Man have tried to make it into this sort of mean scam or security threat. And it wasn't mean at all. It was delightful. And funnier, made even funnier, because the athletes busted them pretty quickly. Pretty quickly. But then the athletes were part of it, saying, yeah, let's get you on Sky News. How cool is that? Well done, Zach. Thank you for that, mate. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for tracking him down, Catherine. Oh, that was fun. Well, I feel like we've done the show. Let's go home. Not really. Not really, guys. I don't know which story to go to next now, because that might inspire us. Oh, we got Ian in France. Evening, Ian.
Hello, Ian. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you, boss. How are you doing?
I'm all right, thanks. Word association game.
Yes.
Sonic.
Hedgehog.
Ratchet.
Clank.
Sly.
Stone.
Oh, Cooper. Sly Cooper.
Oh,
Gears.
What? Say that again.
Gears.
Change.
Oh, Gears of War.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you're good.
I didn't like Gears of War. I thought it was a terrible game, and everyone was raving about it, and I'm going, what? It's boring, guys.
I've never played it.
Nah, rubbish.
Because I've never owned an Xbox.
Xbox, Xbox, you're an Xbox. I keep meaning to dive into Grand Theft Auto 5.
Oh, yeah.
And I've started it on one machine, and then I've got another machine set up, and I've started it on the other machine, but I've not got past the second mission.
Don't you voyeuristically watch Limmy?
Say that again.
Don't you voyeuristically observe Limmy playing?
I do watch the Scottish comedian Limmy.
Yeah.
Playing it and swearing and effing and jeffing. I do enjoy that. But I don't know. Video games. I don't know. I'm not as I don't get sucked into them as much as I did. Yes.
Here's the question: at what age should one stop?
Oh no, I don't buy any of that stopping. Yeah. I think as long as you're still getting stuck, it's like I always thought you should stop wearing t-shirts with band names on them when you're about 40. I'm 43 now, and of course now I'm a 43-year-old man wearing ill-fitting jeans, wearing t-shirts that say they might be giants. You know, and that's just the way it goes. I don't think there's any, you know, my generation is the first generation that was brought up on video games within the home.
This is it, isn't it? Yeah. We're pretty much the same age. I think you're a couple of years older than me.
All right, mate, calm
down. Pretty much the same, you know?
Yes.
And I had quite a heated conversation with somebody.
Yeah.
I was asked, what did you do this weekend? And I said, well, not much, but I just played a couple of video games. And the response was as if I'd said, you know, I went around and tickled a couple of persons' nether regions.
Yes, I do look back on my life and marvel at the amount of time I've wasted on, you know, obsolete football games. For example, FIFA 97.
Sure.
Which was, you know, a big deal at the time. And the first Halo and all of the second Halo and all of these kind of things. And it wasn't completely wasted because I guess I got something out of it. I got some pleasure out of it. But I could have... Imagine if I'd spent that time learning to play the guitar.
Yeah.
Or learning a foreign language. If I'd spent all of the hours I've spent playing video games, I spent learning French.
But nobody says this about reading books, do they?
Well, it would work with but books. I kind of think you're getting some sort of knowledge from you're getting something that is more tangible than you are from playing a video game. I mean, my memory is terrible, but books have. I can tell you facts from books. I can tell you interesting things. I can recount funny passages. I
mean,
you
learn vocabulary, I suppose.
Yeah.
Vocabulary.
Yeah, and it helps. Yeah. You know, the reading of books has helped with my writing. But video games, I played a really tough... I did a really tough puzzle on the original Tomb Raider back in 1999. So what?
But what about it, okay, not books, not films.
Yes.
Golf. What did you do this weekend? I went and played golf for 8 hours.
Golf!
What a waste of time.
Well, but is it, though?
What a massive waste of time.
But is it, though? Because exercise?
Barely.
Companionship?
Oh, only with other golfers.
Focus of the mind? It's like a meditation.
No more. It takes no less skill to pull off a fantastic headshot in Call of Duty than to.
Oh, come on! You're saying that Call
surely.
Of Duty is as skillful as golf? You're oh, insane! No, have you been drinking Faldo again? Me. That's insane.
Not we're not talking Nick Faldo levels of skill here, but you know, a general workman-like golfer is no more skilled than a general workman-like player of Gears of War, surely.
I don't believe in the real world right, that anybody has ever scored a hole-in-one. I don't believe it.
Kim Jong-il did.
No, he did. No, he didn't.
Well, he said he did.
Who said? He said he did.
He said he did.
Oh, he
and,
said he
and
did.
And Robert Mugabe.
Right, so it turns out dictators score them virtually every shot they take. I don't believe it's ever happened.
I've never seen it.
No, I've never seen it. And even if I saw it, right, because when you hit the golf ball is tiny and it's white, so when you hit it, it goes in the sky, you can't see it, right?
Can't see it. Yeah.
And it's the hole is, what, 250, 300 yards away.
Sure.
So no one could see that it's got, no one could see that it's gone in, unless you were stood by the hole, right?
That's true.
But then if you're stood by the hole, you won't know it's necessarily the ball. I don't believe it's possible. It's impossible. That tiny ball in that tiny hole from 300 yards away, I'm not having it.
And we've all seen Goldfinger, haven't we?
What happens in Goldfinger?
There is a fantastic golf cheating scene in Goldfinger. Where Sean Connery, obviously James Bond,
yes,
is playing golf against Goldfinger.
Oh, I've never watched a Sean Connery one all the way through.
Okay, it's just a fabulous where Goldfinger himself uses what's his name? Is it Oddjob? I think the henchman.
Is it the one with the bowler hat?
The bowler hat.
Yeah,
guy.
Oddjob. I like him. Yeah.
He uses him to help him cheat at golf. It's a fabulous, basically a fabulous instruction manual on how to cheat at sport. It's great.
I can't even play mini golf, and the boys love mini golf, right? But the thing about playing it with the boys is they'll do their shots, right? And they'll want to do their shots all in one go.
Yeah.
And it'll take them like 20 shots, but they'll count it as four because apparently pushing it when it's not stopped moving from the last shot, that's still like one shot.
That's
and then
okay.
It'll be my shot, but then they'll go on to the next hole. And
right.
So I genuinely, by the fourth hole, I'm like, all right, guys, I'm not playing. You just play your silly game yourself. And I want to play by the rules and they want to play the way they want to play. But I can't get the ball in that hole. And that's just over a hill and through a windmill.
But the windmill, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Crazy golf or mini golf.
Yes.
Is much harder than full size golf.
You're insane. Do you know that?
It would be harder, isn't it? Because
how?
there are no windmills in full size golf. Are
they not? Someone should make a full sized crazy golf.
What a brilliant
course.
Idea!
I would be up for that.
I always wanted to build. You know those little jungle gyms for kids.
Yep.
Next to shopping centres.
Yep.
One of those for adults?
Yeah, soft play for adults. Yeah, I'd be up for that.
Brilliant.
Well, if you start it, Ian, let me know, and I'm certainly going to sign up for a year.
Absolutely.
Nice one, man. Thank you very much, Ian.
Pleasure.
Always nice to talk to you. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You're more than welcome. I honestly do not believe that someone has ever scored a hole in one. I just don't see how it's even like remotely possible to do it. The ball is tiny, right? It's about golf ball size, right? The hole is not much bigger than the ball, and you're hitting it 300 yards. Nah. I'm just not buying it in the slightest as being workable. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. So, you're supposed to put a tortoise in the fridge. So it says in the papers, guys. Let's read on. Before you do go and put Tommy in there, let's read on and get a little bit more of the facts, shall we, guys? It says ice, just to ram it home, place for your tortoise to spend winter in a fridge. I can't believe this. Children used to watch each winter as Blue Peter tortoise. What was the tortoise called? No, not George. Frieda. According to John Ingham, the environment editor, was carefully packed away in... You're not supposed to paint on their shells anymore. It's poisonous. Ugh. Killjoys. There'll be an inquiry in the BBC soon about animal cruelty in the 70s. Isn't it nice that Tony Blackburn's back on the BBC? Well done, BBC. You charlatans. You slimy toads. Although I was on the BBC today, so great to be back, guys. I did a Blackburn and I went back to the BBC. Children used to watch each winter as Blue Peter tortoise Frieda was carefully packed away in a cardboard box for a few months. Oh, for a few months' hibernation in a quiet corner. Does it have to be quiet? I mean, is the noise going to disturb them? But experts... But experts now say tortoises would be better off in the fridge, providing you keep a close eye on them and don't use an appliance that is used for the family's food. Oh, yeah, because everyone's got a spare fridge lying around, innit? Everyone's got a spare fridge! Crying out loud. The British Veterinary Association said yesterday... Modern advice has moved away from the traditional idea of placing your tortoise in a shoebox in the attic. The old practice is linked to health problems such as frostbite, weight loss, and bites from rodents. Imagine that. Imagine you go to sleep, then you wake up like two of your legs are missing and they've been eaten by rats. Imagine that as you're going, as you're falling asleep, right? When you wake up in the morning, two of your limbs, maybe an arm and a leg, maybe both legs, will be gone. They'll be eaten by rats. Because that's what's going to happen tonight. Yep. British Veterinary Zoological Society President Mark Stidworthy said... Using a fridge to hibernate a tortoise may seem odd, but can provide a safe and reliable hibernation chamber. It is essential to ensure that the refrigerator temperature is stable, correct for the species, and regularly monitored. Boring. Boring pets. Tortoises? Terrapins? Stick insects? I think mine are dying. I'll check tomorrow. Fish, rabbits, dogs. 0844 499 1000. But he warned the greatest risk to health of the pet, which can cost £130, is being left in hibernation too long. The Tortoise Trust says fridges should be set at 5 degrees Celsius so it does not get too cold and put in a box with air holes in the lid and blah, 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 blah. Fortunately, a hibernating tortoise breathes slowly and has a low oxygen demand. I mean, you thought you could leave it in there for 6 months. No! Work is involved. You've got to do something with this docile thing. It should be taken out once a week to check it is not losing weight dramatically, and the fridge opened at least 3 times a week for a few minutes to ensure enough oxygen circulates. But don't, for the sake of everything that is holy, Please think of the children. Don't use the family fridge, as they must not share lodgings with food or drink. Lodgings? Because of the risk of deadly bugs, including salmonella. You know, I would put it in the fridge. I would forget about the tortoise. Come the spring, I go, oh, blimmin' it, we've got a tortoise. Oh, no. I've left him. He's been in the fridge since October. Quick, let's go and look. Oh, he's dead. Damn you, Ben John Ingham, the environment editor of the Mail. You killed my tortoise. You killed Terry. On your head be it. And then what we'd do is we'd put Terry in a jiffy bag, because it'd be all withered. And we'd send it to the to John Ingham, environment editor, care of the Daily Mail, Fleet Street, London, England, the world, the solar system, the universe, and let him deal with it. That's how that ended. So all in all, it was a very sad affair.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Showed the O2 Arena that we were singing live. They do that live, yeah. But they do that pop group sometimes. They'll carry on singing after the song so they can show their microphones alive.
I love that song. Yeah, it's really brilliant.
It is
the way you put it together.
It is brilliant, but you're brilliant, I'm brilliant.
We both sang well together, didn't we?
I've got the sales figures in. Do you want to know how many copies...
Well, how many you've sold?
Right.
Mm. Yeah, you go far away, Ian.
How many do you think we've sold?
100,000. It could be more.
Are you sitting down?
Yes.
Good.
It's a big shock.
It's going to be a big shock, mate. Yes.
I don't care. Anyway, yes.
So you're saying 100,000?
Well, I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Okay.
All right, 10,000.
10,000. All right, 10,000. 20,000.
It doesn't really matter. It was only a bit of fun, wasn't it?
It's only a bit of fun.
I dare say we sold a few.
Well...
Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan. I'm doing my bell watching Disney films.
Lindsay Lohan.
I'm
watching all the films today.
Lindsay Lohan. We're watching all the films today. Yeah.
And they called it
puppy love. Imagine having sex with a dog.
They'll never know how a young girl really feels.
That's a bit creepy now.
And how I love her so.
That's a bit creepy now. You're too old to be singing puppy love.
Oh, well, he did on the TV.
Yeah, but he was a child.
Mm.
You're
a child when he sang it on the TV today.
Who?
He's been on TV a lot. So
who's been on TV today? Jimmy Osmond? Donny Osmond?
No, Donny Osmond's been singing it on the TV.
Inappropriate.
Mm.
Inappropriate.
He's too old to sing that now, isn't
he? Yeah, he is.
He don't sing it so well, neither.
Yeah.
No, he's not a bad singer. He's still
I like Donny Osmond.
Yeah.
He's better than Jimmy Osmond, but he's no David Cassidy, is he?
No, I don't think... I don't think Donny Osmond could sing as well as he did when he was like 16, because your voice changes, doesn't it?
Who can, though? Who can?
Who can, yeah, because your voice gets deeper.
Who can, really?
No. So far away with the figures.
Okie dokie. Right.
I hope I'm not going to be shocked.
I think you're in for a surprise, mate.
Ten. Ten.
A little bit lower. No, I'm joking. Right.
Seven.
Shut up.
Come
so there are two. There are two sets of figures, right?
Yeah.
Two sets of figures. Now, there
what
are
does
the.
That mean?
The I'm going to tell you, Nigel. Mm. There are the figures for those people that bought the EP. Now, the EP was the three songs: Lindsay Lohan, Miley Cyrus,
and your friend
Titty Man.
Titty Man. Yeah.
So there are the figures for the people that bought all three as a package, right?
Mm.
And then there are also figures for people who bought the individual tracks.
The three separate ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
that's three.
Let's do the separate figures first, because they're a little bit lower than the other ones, right? Because most people, this is the good news.
But I bought the album, I
Yeah!
Think. Yeah, I would have bought that. Yeah, because you got your picture on the front.
Exactly. So most people went for that. So these figures you're going to hear are a bit low.
Yeah.
But don't worry.
No.
So, in reverse order, the number of people that bought Titty Man...
Yes.
Give it its full title, brackets, I'm a, close bracket, Titty Man, featuring Barry from Watford and the DC DJ. People who bought that just on its own.
Yes.
19.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Bit low.
Second place.
Never mind.
Miley Stiley, featuring Nigel from Maidstone and the DC DJ.
Yeah.
23.
Oh.
Is that disappointing or...?
Well, it could have been higher.
Well, okay.
That's a single,
But these are the singles. Mm. We've not got to the people that bought the whole album.
No, I think I'll be shocked when I hear it.
You've got to be, oh, yeah. Especially if the first guess was 100,000. And the people who bought Lindsay Lohan featuring Nigel from Maidstone and the DC DJ on its own and nothing else...
Yes.
42.
Oh, better. Getting better.
Now!
Much better, yeah.
Now we go to the fun stats.
The Miley one.
We close that one. Mm. And we open this. I've got a pie chart here. Right. So the number of people that bought the whole album, all three songs.
But who the Miley single, how many bought the Miley single?
That was 23, wasn't it? 21.
Didn't mention that one.
I did.
Oh.
Did. I literally did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, apparently there are some radio awards tonight. I'm being asked by some high-ranking officials if you won anything at the radio awards. Did you win anything?
I didn't, no.
Maybe they'll let you know by phone. So the number of people that bought... Well, I say that. The number of albums that we sold. I don't know if it's the number of people. Some people might have bought it twice or thrice.
Yeah, sure.
You said 100,000. You're not far off.
Really?
It's 271.
Oh, great. That's fantastic.
You sound a little bit...
No, it's great. I didn't expect you to sell that anyway.
Listen, Nigel, on a serious note, I know you're a bit disappointed, right?
No, it's fine, because you still sell it. It's only been on sale for 2 weeks.
Well, it's been about a month. But
No, it's 3 weeks.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, but I mean, it's on sale forever, so I mean, it's going to sell a lot more.
It's going to be like, but I don't think it's going to sell anymore. I think that's the most it's going to sell, because it's been the initial run. But do you know what? I've got Neil here who said I've set Lindsay Lohan as my alarm. I've got people that listen to it regularly, that have it in the car, the kids are singing it. It's brought a lot of pleasure to people.
Yeah.
I've not done the maths yet, because I need to add it all up and divide it and then work out, because I've got to pay tax on it. But you'll get about 60 quid.
Okay. But, yeah, so I wasn't going to ask about the money anyway.
Well, it's your money.
Yeah, sure, yeah. But you said that three... What was the figure again? 200,070.
Sorry?
200,070.
No.
What was the figure again? 200,000, wasn't it?
No. It was 271. No thousands.
Oh, I see, 271, yeah. Oh, it was lower than I thought. I thought it would be in the thousands. So
I'm going to be honest.
But mind you, if it's on sale, the longer you leave it, if you leave it...
This is the most awkward phone call I've ever been involved in.
Leave it for sale.
Anyone else has got their toes curling up?
Wouldn't it?
Well, I suspect...
But I like the songs.
I like the songs!
I think you've done very well with them.
We got to number 32 in the charts, in the dance charts on iTunes, Nigel.
Is that on there now, in the dance charts?
No, it's dropped out now, but...
It was in there last week.
Teaspoon Riverneck on Twitter says he DJ'd Lindsay Lohan at a metal gig a few weeks back. So it's brought a lot of people a lot of joy. It's brought them joy.
Good. Very pleased.
So there's about... I'll do the maths.
But then I'm not... I'm not worried about the actual payout.
The money... Nigel.
Want people to enjoy it.
Nigel, everyone's going to get a few quid out of this, all right? That's what it is. I'm not here to rip you off. I've just got to do the maths, work out, divide it by who... Work out on the sales. I've got to have to declare it and pay tax. It'll be about 60 quid.
But I thought you was going to leave it on sale for a bit longer.
It will stay on sale, Nigel.
Forever.
It will stay on sale. Yeah, don't worry.
Because I mean, I don't want people not to miss out on if they want to decide to buy it.
No, it's going
to
stay on sale. I do think... We get the figures, I think, in about every month, right?
Yes.
I do suspect that next month it will have sold none. I think it's one of
We don't know, aren't you?
We don't know. It's the kind of record, though, that's going to do really well in the first couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And then it's going to drop right off.
But it's more catchy than a lot of things that are on in the charts, isn't it? I think, especially the Lindsay Lohan one.
And here's the you thought that was a blow.
Mm.
And I can tell you're disappointed by the sales, Nigel. I did try and set you up.
I'm not disappointed. Well, I'm not attached, because I thought you might only sell about 20.
Well, you thought I was going to say 100,000.
No, I didn't really. No, okay. I didn't. I'll just.
And here's the final blow. I'm leaving the group.
Oh, right. You don't want to be in any more of my records, in any more of my records, then?
No.
No.
I am leaving...
You're not leaving the radio station, are you?
No. Staying in the radio station.
But I decided that Dan and I have decided to maybe do Nigel's Time, which is a song written about me being on the radio. And that might be a success.
Wish you both... the very, very best of luck in your career.
Yeah.
But I am leaving, and I'm citing musical differences.
Yeah, but I mean, I didn't expect you to keep doing it.
No. So I'm quitting the group.
Mm.
Okay?
I'm not.
No?
I should go solo.
Well?
Well, I'd like to, anyway. Well. So, I've got a... did you like that Puppy Love renovation I did?
The what?
The renovation of Puppy Love. Did you like my singing?
The renovation of Puppy Love?
My version of Puppy Love. Did you like it?
I thought it was absolutely wonderful, Nigel. Thank you very much indeed. I'm going to be honest, guys. That was the most awkward phone call. It was like dumping a girlfriend. That was tense, wasn't it? How many do you think we sold? 100,000? What? Oh, well, it was fun while it lasted. Huh?
Late night conversation worth losing sleep over.
Ian Lee. On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Periscope's a little bit different this evening. Normally we have the Periscope in the studio with me. Instead, it's behind the scenes and it's in the anti-studio with Catherine and Ed. And you can, do you have the output there? Can they hear what's going on in the show? You can hear the show. You can also hear Catherine and Ed bitching about me. I know what you get up to. So Radio Geeks, it's not going to be a watch for everybody, but Radio Geeks, if you want to see the back of two people's heads, then periscope.tv/Ian Lee. Oh, exciting guests we've got coming on soon. Right, so John Lydon, we might play out tomorrow or Friday. We've got this gentleman's name. I'm really enjoying his book. Glenn Berger, who's written Never Say No to a Rock Star, which is about him working in the recording industry in the 70s, and he's just bumped into Paul Simon. We've also got Petra Hayden, playing Petra Hayden yesterday, who did the wonderful Acapulco version of God Only Knows. I might play that again. Absolutely wonderful. She's come by coincidence, is coming over here on November the 19th, and we're going to speak to her the week before, which will be wonderful. I'm looking forward to it. And also, hey Mickey, you're so fine, you're so fine, you blow my mind. Hey Mickey, Tony Basil is hopefully coming on the show. That's the plan. Tony Basil, singer, choreographer. There's a brilliant video, and the reason she popped up into my consciousness recently, there's a brilliant video, and it kind of went viral. Watch this 73-year-old woman put a dance class to shame. And it's this brilliant clip of this 73-year-old woman getting up in a dance class in front of all these kids, you know, in their late teens, early 20s, and astounding them by busting some moves. And it was Tony Basil. And I thought, ooh, 73 years old. She's lived a life. She's seen some things. She's, you know, done some great stuff. I'm aware that she choreographed the brilliant, and I won't bang on about it, but there's a brilliant dance sequence in the Monkees film Head with her and Davy Jones, and it's brilliant. I mean, genuinely brilliant. If you got 5 minutes spare, go on YouTube, type in Monkees Daddy Song. The dance sequence from that is stunning, and she choreographed that. Of course she had the pop career in the early 80s, but she's won Grammys and all kinds of awards for choreography and loads of stuff. Incredible career. So hopefully she's coming on soon. Won't that be fun? 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. It's a fun show tonight. Literally, we're kind of having production meetings on air. If you've just tuned in, you missed us speaking to Zach, who was one of the pranksters who tricked him and his mate Jamie, tricked their way onto the Olympic bus. Nothing mean-spirited, nothing malicious. It was just for the joy of seeing how far they could get. And it's wonderful. And he's tweeted me now, and he's going to keep in touch. He's saying, Ian, we'll have to get you involved in the next one. I haven't got the balls to do that stuff anymore. I used to do stuff kind of similar to that on the 11 o'clock show, a TV programme I presented years and years ago. And I would get nervous doing it then. I couldn't do it now. I haven't got the balls to do it now, really. I buckle at the first hurdle. Anyway, you missed that, but we've put the SoundCloud of that up, and it'll be in the podcast as well, I am sure. So we're just sitting here. It's all kind of nice and relaxed, and we're taking your phone calls, and I'm sort of sifting through the papers, because there's actually quite a bit in the papers today worth sifting through. We're talking about rubbish pets, all kinds of things. You know the score, though, by now, most of you, don't you? And the reason I keep kind of telling you the score is because we get loads of new listeners every day. Every day I'll get someone tweeting me or emailing me or Facebook me going, oh, I've just found you again after years. You disappeared after Absolute, or you disappeared after LBC, or I used to think you were a tosser on the telly, but I heard you on Adam Buxton, and I just listened to your radio show, and it's great. We'll get a new swing in about 3 weeks. We'll get a load of people swinging through after the Scroobius Pip podcast goes online, from people going, I thought you were an idiot. But I quite enjoyed what you had to say on the Pip podcast. And they might think I'm an idiot on that as well, actually. But the way it works, if you are new and if you have just flicked through the dial and you've stumbled on talk radio, welcome. The rest of the station is a little bit more, in inverted commas, normal. Paul Ross does the breakfast show. What time is he on? Seven? Is he on six? Six till ten? Six till ten. Then the radio shuts down between 10 and 1. There's nothing worth listening to then. I'm joking, of course. It's only a woman who calls a woman in a news story sluts. Outrageous! I don't listen. And then it gets good again at 1 o'clock when John Holmes comes on. And there's all kinds of stuff. This show, it's a phone-in show unlike any other phone-in show, in that I sit here and I just talk rubbish, and I go through the papers sometimes, or sometimes I'll tell you what's happened in my day or what's going to happen in the next couple of days, and you're more than welcome to phone in about those things or anything. You know, you just phone up and you say, I'm feeling a bit rough today, actually. Just thought I'd check in, because otherwise I've gone a whole day without speaking to somebody. You can do that as well if you want. 0844 499 1000. We try. And the more shows we do, the more confident I am. Tris, I'll come to you in a minute, promise. The more confident I am with this kind of being the backbone of the show. We try and make it celebratory, right? Because, again, this show I mentioned earlier on, calling a woman a slut, outrageous behaviour. Phone-in radio, it's so easy to fuel it with anger and fuel it with hatred. Let's check the teeth of these migrants! Let's check their teeth! You do know that checking someone, ageing someone by their teeth is inaccurate to within 5 years above or below. You know that, don't you? Because that's what the Dental Association came out today and said, yeah, well, we can do that, but A, it's unethical, and B, it's a really inaccurate way of judging people's ages. You could be 5 years above or 5 years below. So it would be easy to come on now and say, these kids, they look like 25-year-old men. We don't want them here when we can't find homes for our own people. Easy, wouldn't it? And that's happening everywhere else. That's happening everywhere else. I thought it'd be nice to do something where we celebrate stuff. And my default setting is to be mean, and is to be a little bit snarky, and is to be a little bit critical. That's my default setting. And if I do that on the show, it's generally because I've got tired. Okay? It's because I've got tired and I'm feeling lazy. But Kath will give me a boot up the backside, or Ed will give me a boot up the backside. And we try and celebrate. It's unusual to do that in 21st century Britain, particularly after the Brexit vote and with everything that's happening in America. The air, can you feel it? The air. We've got loads of people waiting to talk now. Tris and Kyle and Leslie, I promise I will come to you in a minute. But the air is getting thick with kind of a toxic poison. You know, you switch on the radio, you turn on the TV. Even people hoping to become the president of the United States of America are spouting racist, misogynistic, sexist, abusive, toxic spew. It's awful, isn't it? It's awful. And in politics in this country, and on television in this country, and phone-in radio, right? For me, phone-in radio should be a bit of fun. We could do serious stuff as well, you know. We can look into each other's souls and question, but I don't want it to be nasty. I don't want people to switch off my radio show and feel upset or feel ashamed or feel bullied. And yet that's what sells. And if I were to do that, we'd get much bigger audiences than when we get. I guarantee it. We get much bigger audiences because scaring people and upsetting people, if it's the minority, as long as it's the minority you're doing it to, it sells, it sells. And people want to listen to that. People want to get angry and they want to point the finger and they want to shout and they want to march along the streets with flaming torches and pitchforks and go and, you know, attack people. So we're trying to avoid that. We're trying to avoid that with this show. Doesn't always work. It's an experiment. It may not last, but tonight, that's what we're doing.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Let's go to Leslie. Good evening, Leslie.
Hello. Good evening, Ian.
How are you this evening, Leslie?
Not too bad. I'm sitting here wasting time.
Leslie, can you talk for a minute? I just need to go and get my phone, Leslie. My
Pardon?
Phone is in the other studio. I just want to get my phone, sorry.
Hello? Ian? There's a controversy over...
Leslie, I've just gone to get my phone from the other studio, Leslie.
Okay, I will talk, no problem.
No, it's okay, I'm back now.
Okay.
Because there's something I want to play to you, if that's all right. Can I play you something on my phone?
Yeah.
I was in bed the other day.
Yeah.
I was listening to the radio.
Uh-huh.
And something I heard... I was listening to another radio station, as I often do. And I heard...
Really?
Yeah.
What?
I heard the most amazing thing I've ever heard. And I recorded it on my phone, and I wondered if I could play it to you. Would that be all right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, sure. This was it. Hang on, let me just get the speaker on. Turn it up. So I'm in bed, listening to the uh-huh. radio, and then suddenly I heard this.
At this time, my company, what I've seen, all this stuff, such as about 90-95% of stuff are foreigners.
Right.
Right. You can tell by the color. You can tell by the accent. Yeah.
Well, you can jump to conclusions, but I mean. I'm sure there are some companies where there are predominantly migrant workers. But why is that? I mean, in this particular...
Unbelievable.
What's going on, Leslie? Are you seeing...
That was me.
Yes, I know it was you. Are you seeing another radio station behind our back? What the hell is going on?
I've seen many, mate. When I can sneak in one or two, I do sneak in one or two.
You'd sneak in one or two? I'm in bed. I thought, no, that can't be my Leslie. It's my Leslie. He's phoning up the competition.
But you were in bed, you just said.
Yeah, exactly. Listening to the competition and laughing, because, well, it's Clive Bull. I like Clive Bull. I think he's brilliant. But and then you popped up. I couldn't believe it, Leslie. What the hell is going on? Explain yourself.
Which day was that?
You don't even know. How often are you phoning this other radio station?
I've been phoning for over a year now.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, Leslie. It was like a knife to my heart, a dagger wound to my soul.
Ian, I've been phoning up this radio station over a year now because I thought you immigrate.
You what?
I thought you immigrate.
That doesn't even... You thought Ian the Great?
No, immigrate.
You thought immigrate?
Immigrate to the country,
hang on a minute.
Country, yes.
You're phoning up... And the thing is, you're phoning up complaining there are too many people with dark skin and foreign accents. Well, have you looked in the mirror and listened to yourself recently?
No, you didn't...
What colour is your skin?
My great-grandmother was blonde.
What? Where is your accent from?
My accent? Oh, it's from everywhere. A little bit there, a little bit there. Why not?
You were phoning up to complain about people that look and sound like you!
No!
Yes!
No, that wasn't. What I've said...
Oh, I don't know.
My company... Yeah. Want to recruit 200 to about 200 people.
Yes.
But most of the people I've seen and I've worked with,
this back? Yes.
They foreigners.
So I'm saying, where are the English people?
Yes.
To apply for these jobs.
Okay. That's what I'm I don't want to fall down the LBC spew hole. What have you called in for tonight, Leslie?
Yeah, I'm calling for the granddad children in Cali that just come over.
The what?
Granddad. The children that look like granddad.
The children that look like granddad. Oh, God, yeah. Really?
A lot of people should remember, they camp been there for the past 10 years, yes?
Yes.
And when some of those children end up at the camp, their problem was only 10. So these guys are still children.
Well, no. The thing is, right, I don't know how old these people are, but if they've got family over here, I kind of, you know, some of them are kids, and sometimes kids look older than kids, you know, and just, you know, I don't know how old they are.
I mean, in Luton, right, I've seen bearded kids coming out of school.
Yeah, I have as well. I used to go to school with a bearded kid. But but saying that, I heard a statistic on Radio 4 earlier, and I think I've got this right, that over a certain period of time, it was 900... kids were brought over as refugees or something, and 600 of them turned out to be over 18. They got it. I'm clutching at a figure I don't quite understand. So I don't know, but they're also using the wrong people's pictures as well for some of them. Some of them are pictures that were taken in Calais and weren't taken over here in England. I kind of just think, you know, everyone was expecting it to be 5 and 6 year olds, but let's...
Exactly, that's what I thought.
But come on, I mean, the front page of the Sun, tell us the truth. I don't know. It feels very mean-spirited, didn't it? It's only 14... MPs called for dental tests of child migrants last night as fresh doubts grew over their ages. 14 more arrived in the UK yesterday, but the oldest had crow's feet and looked closer to 40. I don't know. It's 14. It's not, you know... Give them the benefit of the doubt, you know. Poor sods have been living in a mud pit for however long they've been living there. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt, Les.
So, yeah, some of these kids, they age very quickly because of the environment they've been living in for the past 10 years, ain't it?
Hang on a second. So when you phone up LBC, you're full of hate?
No, full of love.
When you phone up Talk Radio, you're full of love.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I like that. I like the vibe, Les. Are you not scared of chives, are you?
Chive, what's that?
Chives.
Yeah, talk to me.
I'm talking to you. Chives.
No, I'm not familiar with chives.
You're not familiar with chives?
Yeah.
Do you know what chives are?
No.
Hang on a minute. Tris? Tris?
Hello.
Hello, Tris. Can you explain to Leslie what chives are? Can you do some chive talking?
I'll try to talk here, yeah. Chives are herbs, Leslie.
Oh! Yeah, it goes in hot pot on whatever pot.
Yeah, if you like.
Oh, yeah.
Hang on a second, let's see. Hang on a minute, stay there. If I, I should be able to add, oh no, hang on a minute. Kyle?
Evening.
Can you explain to Leslie what chives are?
Chives?
You're still there, Leslie? Oh, no, we might have... Hang on a minute. Conference. Leslie, you there now?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Kyle's going to try and explain chives to you.
Go ahead.
It's a new feature we're calling chive talking. We're doing it.
I like chive talking.
I think you mean jive talking.
Chive talking. No.
Chive talking.
American stuff.
Yeah, chive.
Jamaican doesn't do American stuff.
No, she went of her own accord. I'm just chive talking. So, Kyle, do you want to chive talk?
I'm chive talking. You grow them, and then you snip them, and then you can, and they're beautiful, delicious.
What would you put, where would you put your chives, Kyle?
I would put my chives, if I was making like a cheese and onion pie, I'd sprinkle a few chives in that maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe on some crackers.
Chives with sour cream. Ooh.
It's just favourite herb.
Leslie, I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
Sour cream, right? It's a great dip. It's beautiful in jacket potato. It's one. Get some Doritos. But how come it doesn't make you have an upset stomach? Because it's literally sour cream.
I don't do sour cream. It's herbal stuff.
Have you never had sour cream?
No, I don't do that stuff.
Jeez, Leslie, what's going on? Tris, have you had sour cream?
Of course I have, mate, yeah.
How come it doesn't give you an upset stomach?
Well, it's not sour cream. It's soured cream, isn't it? ED on the end.
Mm,
and
okay.
I think. But it's just a bacteria, isn't it, they put in it to make it tangy.
It's the good bacteria.
I don't even have bitter lemon. I don't even have bitter lemon.
Oh. what do you like, Leslie?
I just like things that taste like food.
You like anything that tastes...
Tastes like food,
tastes
yeah.
Tastes like food, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go through...
Things that doesn't confuse my taste bud.
You don't... No one wants your... just the one. So, let's go through some things that I think taste like food, and you'll let me know if they do. And I'm going to do a little chart here.
Go ahead.
Tastes
a
like...
A good curry goat tastes like food.
You what?
A good curry goat tastes like food.
Okay, so tastes like food... Doesn't taste like food. I'm just drawing a little like food. I'm just drawing a little chart here. Right, so curried goat tastes like food.
Yep.
I tell you what, this is what we'll do. Stay there, we'll have a break, then we'll come back. We're going to play Does It Taste Like Food or Doesn't It Taste Like Food Poker with Leslie.
Late Night Ian Lee. Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
A lot of people, Tris, a lot of people are saying it is sour cream, not soured cream. It's really kicked off on Twitter. But let's park that to one side. Right. So Does It Taste Like Food or Doesn't It Taste Like Food Poker? Leslie is the judge, right? Well, now, the way this works,
okay. It's
me, Tris and Kyle, right? We take it in turns. We name something that we think tastes like a food, right? If Leslie... says that doesn't taste like food, you're out. Okay? You got it, Tris?
Okay.
You got it, Kyle?
I've got it.
Right, I'm gonna go first. Curried goat. Leslie, does that taste like food or that doesn't taste like food?
Tastes like food.
Tastes like food. Okay, that's one to me. Tris, you're next.
Right, Leslie. Prawns.
Tastes like food.
Whoa!
Ooh, I've worried that.
I love the tension, Leslie. You're better than Noel Edmonds on Deal or No Deal. Anyway, Kyle, your turn.
Lamb, Rog and Josh.
Tastes like food.
I'm writing these down just in case we ever kidnap Leslie and we need to feed him. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm going to go for something a little bit left of centre. Cheese and pickle sandwich.
Tastes like food?
Yes! Tris, it's over to you. And of course, every food we mention, it means the list gets shorter of what foods are available.
Right, Leslie, don't let me down here. Strawberry jam.
Tastes like food.
Yeah, I was straight in there.
Yes.
Straight in there. Kyle, your turn.
I would say fillet steak with a peppercorn sauce.
Tastes like food.
Say that again, Leslie.
Tastes like food.
Tastes like food. Okay, okay.
Yep.
Before we go on, Leslie, I mean, do you like a lot of foods, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. should have asked that before we started the game. What a weird show it's been tonight. Hope Murdoch's not listening to this one. Right. jacket potato with grated cheese.
Tastes like food.
Oi! I don't know why I'm writing these down. I actually am. Okay. Tris, your turn.
Bacon and eggs.
Tastes like food.
I'm writing that down. Yeah. Kyle?
Jacket potato with tuna and mayo.
Doesn't taste like food.
Can you just say that one more time, Leslie? Just so that...
doesn't taste like food.
Kyle, we say good evening to you. Oh. Thanks for calling, but bye-bye. He's out. He's gone. Wowzers. What was he thinking, Tris? Let's just take a breather for a second, because this is actually giving me a migraine. What was he thinking, Tris?
That was silly, wasn't it? He was just trying to show off.
He was trying to show off. He's showing off because he knows he's got all his friends listening, and so he sent an email out, I'm going to be on the... He's blown it. He's blown it. He's gone. He's gone.
He probably told all his mates this morning on the playground that he's going to say that.
I'm going to go on the radio, I'm going to say Jackie Potato and Tuna Man, and I'm going to play Tastes Like Food, Doesn't Taste Like Food, Poker with Leslie, I'm going to destroy him. And he's humiliated himself. Absolutely.
Yeah,
humiliated himself.
I think you should ban him for the rest of the evening.
He's definitely banned until midnight. Yeah, I'll give you that. Right.
Yeah.
How you feeling, Leslie?
Feeling good.
Okay, this is
sitting here watching Carry On.
You're watching what?
Carry On.
Carry On?
Yeah, Carry On, yeah.
Oh, hang on. You sitting there watching a Carry On film?
Yes.
Or are you watching Carrie?
No, Carry On film.
What Carry On film are you watching?
I'm watching Carry On Screaming.
Flying Tonight!
That's the best one, isn't it?
Why are you...
There were 32 Carry-On films that they made.
What? Sorry?
32 of them. They made 32.
Yeah? Why are you telling me that?
I just want to let you know.
Does that include Carry-On Columbus?
That was not the worst one.
Yeah, well, Who is it? Who's the hot lady in Carry On Screaming? Is it Fenella Fielding?
Yes.
Wow, those are...
Fenella Fielding, yeah. She's big.
Sorry?
She's big.
Okay. Do you like the Carry On films, Les?
Yeah, I love them. All right. Yeah.
Well, as a tribute to Carry On Screaming and the line Frying Tonight, fish and chips.
What?
Fish and chips.
Oh, you're still with the food?
Yeah, we're playing the game again, Leslie. We're still...
Oh, yeah.
Fish
and chips is food, yes.
It's food. Does it taste like food?
Yeah, it tastes like food, It's the favourite.
It's the favourite! Oh, yes! Trish, I got the favourite. That means I've earned a joker. That means I've earned a free pass. I'm allowed to get one wrong and I stay in the game.
Well,
by the way, if anyone's
listening...
We might as well. If anyone's listening and they want to come and sit in, now that Kyle has gone, there is a spare seat at the table, guys. 0844 499 1000. Tris, over to you.
Mars bar.
Tastes like food.
Whee!
Yay.
All right, then. All right. Spaghetti bolognese.
Tastes like food. Oh. No, I've cooked... Yeah, I cook that sometimes.
You cook that sometimes, do you, Les?
No, my wife. I can't cook the stuff.
Okay, your wife does it. Okay. That was a tense one there, Trist. I thought I'd blown it.
Sausage and mash.
Tastes like food. Love that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, loves it.
Of course you do.
You love it. You love it, Les. I can't think of many more foods, if I'm honest. Shepherd's pie. Do you like a bit of shepherd's pie?
Lovely. Tastes like food.
Yes! 0844 499 1000. If you want to say a food to an old black man, then this is that's pretty much what the game is, isn't it? I think I've got the game right there, haven't I? Right. Go on then. You're such a good sport, Leslie.
I'm 77.
Are you 77?
And a half, yeah.
And a half, okay. Well, you're a very good sport. Yeah, yes, Tris.
Right, apples.
Tastes like food. Favorite
food. I don't know why that made me laugh so much. but it did make me laugh a lot. Oh, the phones have lit up. Everybody wants to play it. It's truth. Okay. The phones have lit up. They've had so many phone calls. Oh, hang on a second. Somebody sat down at the table. It's, hang on a minute. I've muffed this up. Hang on a minute. Conference. Yeah. It's only Hannah. Hannah, you're sat down at the table. You get to have a go at Tastes Like Food, Doesn't Taste Like Food.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. There's no time for introductions. Hello, get hello. Straight on it.
Toad in the O.
What was that?
Toad in the O.
Toast in the owl. Never heard of it.
Toad in the owl.
Oh, toad. Oh, yeah, it tastes like food.
Oh, hang on a second. Who's this handsome stranger that's just wandered in? Hey,
is that me?
If I'm not mistaken, it's Keith. Evening,
hi.
Keith.
How you doing, man? Long time no see.
Long time no see, man. Hey, we're just playing Tastes Like Food, Doesn't Taste Like Food with Leslie. And
well,
it,
do you
just...
know what? I'm your man. I had to be in on the game.
It happens to be your turn, Keith. Away you go.
I'm going to play Ribs.
Ribs. Leslie, Ribs.
It's killing me, man.
Are you rubbing your ribs?
Ribs, what ribs? Rubbing my ribs.
God, no. imagine someone's just turned on, right? And it's just people saying food and then long silence. This is so bad. This is utter rubbish. Right. Leslie. Ribs. Do ribs taste like food or they don't taste like food?
Did he say ribs?
Ribs.
Ribs. Oh, ribs.
Ribs!
Yeah, it tastes like food.
Oh, for Christ.
Yes.
Right, okay. My turn. Right, my turn. Hawaiian pizza.
I don't eat pizza.
Oh.
Now, so, are you saying it doesn't taste like food, then?
Yes.
Oh, no! I'm out! I'm out. Pizza knocked me out. Okay, well, it's Tris, it's your turn, guys.
Tomato soup.
Tastes like food.
Oh, man. Okay. Hannah, this is your... Hannah, it's your turn now. It's your turn.
Corned beef hash?
Corned beef hash.
It's like food. Love the stuff.
You've got to say it, Leslie. You've got to say it tastes like food?
Tastes like food.
Beautiful. Keith, your turn.
Easy one. Rice and peas.
Tastes like food. Are you black?
Oh, I can't breathe. Tris, I'm out, so Tris, it's your turn.
Cauliflower cheese.
A slab
don't
of cheese.
Like food.
Sorry, hang on, whoa! Leslie,
whoa, whoa,
sorry?
Whoa. Huh?
Say it again, Leslie.
Don't taste like food.
Goodbye, Tris. It's a cruel game. We're down to the last two players. The club is closed. No one else can enter. It's sudden death as we play Tastes Like Food, Doesn't Taste Like Food with our final two players, Hannah and Keith. Leslie is salivating. Hannah, it's your turn.
Pie?
She's saying pies with a question mark, Leslie.
Pies.
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 What sort of
tastes
pie?
Tastes like food.
Tastes like food. Pies. Oh, we're going there. Okay. Okay, Keith. Your turn.
Okay. I'm going all in. I'm all in.
Yeah.
Jerk chicken.
Jerk chicken.
Tastes like food.
Of course it does.
Yes.
I see what you're doing there, Keith. Well
too
done.
Easy.
Well done. Okay. Hannah, your turn.
Lemon drizzle?
Lemon drizzle. Lemon drizzle cake, that is, Leslie.
Tastes like food.
Wowzers. Okay. Okay, Keith, your turn.
Roast beef and Yorkshire pudding.
Tastes like food.
Of course it does. Of course it does. Your turn, Hannah.
Lasagna. Ooh.
Don't taste like
food. Oh!
No!
Goodbye,
Yes.
Keith, you, sir, are the world champion 2016 at Tastes Like Food, Doesn't Taste Like Food. How does that feel, Keith?
Show me the money, man.
There's literally no money, but you get to... Leslie, you get to congratulate Keith for being the winner.
I congratulate you, Keith.
Thank you, Leslie. You're a lovely man.
Okay, no problem, man.
Leslie, you're such a good sport, and boy, oh boy, won't Kelly Betts be excited when I tell her about what we've just done for the last 20 minutes of radio? let's go through that list again. Things that taste like food, in no particular order, roast beef and Yorkshire pudding, lemon drizzle cake, jerk chicken, pies, rice and pea and ting, corned beef hash, tomato soup, toad in the hole, shepherd's pie, ribs, apples, spaghetti bolognese, curried goat, prawns, lamb Rogan Josh, cheese and pickle sandwich, strawberry jam, fillet steak, jacket potato, bacon and eggs, fish and chips, Mars bars and sausage mash, and the things that don't taste like food are pizza and lasagna. Wow, that was a tense game. Has anybody got a clue what we just did for the last 30 minutes of radio? I've got no idea. Oh, I want to cry. Really want to cry. This has been... I have done, dear listener, phone-in radio for about 13 years. Well, no, a bit longer, actually, because I did it at XFM. 15, 16 years. That last 25 minutes was the weirdest thing I've ever been involved in. Another hour to go. We'll go through the papers. We'll invite Catherine into the studio as well. And you can call up, dear listener, please. We've got another hour of this nonsense. 0844 499 1000. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. If you want to see what's happening behind the scenes, you can go to Periscope. Where the Periscope camera is where Catherine and Ed are working, as opposed to being in my studio. And some of you radio geeks may enjoy it. If you go to periscope.tv/IAIN for November, LEE, you can see what it looks like behind the scenes. It's...
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Just a small town girl living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train going anywhere. Cheap perfume, for a smile that can share the night. It goes on and on and on and on. Just to find emotion hiding.
Love it. Love it. Hopefully we'll get Petra on the show. We'll try and tempt her. Sometimes people express a vague interest in coming on the show, and then when you tell them a bit more about it, they go, ah. Who's done that? Linda Lee and Shannon Lee, Bruce Lee's widow and daughter, respectively. Adam Schlesinger from Stacey's mom has got it going on. Who are they? Stacey's mom have got it. No.
Look fly.
No.
Fountains of Wayne.
Thank you very much indeed. The Fountains of Wayne. He was kind of keen on coming on, and then wasn't. This is Ian Lee. Excuse me, I'm really thirsty. There's nothing finer than cold water, I find. 08444991000. We're going to play Melanie a bit later on. Give us out times and all those kind of cues and things so that we know it. Ed is working on that. Ed is doing radio maths. You can call in, though. What have we talked about? We've talked about Cliff Richard. We've talked about anonymity in sex cases. We've talked about that moment when... I tell you when we... It was Jamie, wasn't it? I tell you when we were... why I asked him what it felt like at that moment. And this is going to sound weird. But anyone who's been in that moment will know. I wanted to know if he saw the same thing I saw. And I can't be any more specific. I wanted to know if he saw the same thing I saw. And I get a feeling we both saw the same thing. We've talked about that. We've talked about... what else have we talked about? It's not all been doom and gloom. We've had some funny stuff, didn't we? We had funny stuff tonight. Ed, let's have this microphone on, please. Thank you.
Talked about your Cat Stevens dilemma.
Oh, for £200, I got these tickets. I literally can't give them away because you've got to have your debit card and photo ID. What is that all about? I tell you what it is. Bloody Brexit. Bloody Brexit.
You bought them before Brexit.
Before June the whatever it was, I have never had to take photo ID to a concert. I've either been able to palm the tickets off or I've been able to go. Suddenly we have Brexit and I got tickets and I can't go. And not only can I not go, I can't get rid of the tickets. What is that about? Boris Johnson, that's what it's about.
Was that on the side of a bus? You will be able to sell your tickets.
Gove and Johnson and Farage and Wolf and the Wolfman.
You know what you sound like now? Ramona.
Oh. Hey, Ramona. Wouldn't it be great if Craig McLaughlin was a Brexiteer and he was so angry by snowflakes like me that he reworked his classic song Mona into Hey Bramona.
Yeah.
And he did the lyrics. I've not got time to do it now. I'm doing a radio show. But he reworked the lyrics.
Tell you, Mona, what I'm gonna do.
Gonna get out of the EU. That's... Boom. There we go, you see.
DJ Dan, if you're listening, that's another 400
quid. No, I've retired from music. I've retired.
I haven't even started.
No. You wouldn't be such a big draw as me. I used to be on telly.
I could dance around in my pants. That's what's done now, isn't it?
Stacey's mum takes it up the... Goodness sakes.
Where's your evidence? We don't want to know.
No. Sharon's on the line. Good evening, Sharon.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, Sharon. What you got for us?
I wanted to talk about, the amount of people who are DWP claimants who are having to take their... assessment appeals to the tribunal stage because of factual inaccuracies in assessors' reports and blatant lies. I mean, surely it's a crime to lie in public office, isn't it?
Has this happened to you?
Yes, it's happened to me, and I just thought we'd give this an airing because I belong to a very popular Facebook support group called 4UP, yes. And there's hundreds of us victims.
Well, what happened to you?
Well, what happened to me is I went for my DWP PIP assessment.
Yes.
And, when I got the reply back, I was astounded with the amount of factual inaccuracies and actual lies. The one that made me actually fall over laughing almost was saying that I oriented myself to the centre using a sat-nav. I arrived by taxi, and even the taxi driver did not have a sat-nav.
Oh. Hang on a minute. So you're trying to get benefits, and they're talking about sat navs.
Yeah, it's like there's a disability benefit,
yeah.
And you know we're reassessed.
Yes.
And the things the assessor put down on there just too many factual inaccuracies. This does not tally up with my medical records at all.
Right. So did you get the benefits?
Well, I'm having to go now for an appeal tribunal, like hundreds of other people.
Right. So you didn't get. So you didn't get the benefits.
No.
Okay. So how long ago was that?
This was only very recently.
Well,
I'm now having to go for an appeal tribunal.
Right. Maybe you're not entitled to the benefits.
No, I am entitled to it. You know, I have, you know, compound disabilities.
What disabilities do you have?
Well, I have mobility issues, mental health issues.
What can't you do?
What can't I do? Quite a lot. Well, what, one of them was, you know, walking any great distance. You know, the others, you know, I have a lot of problems with arthritis in my knees, and I'm awaiting surgery for knee replacement.
Uh-oh.
And
how do they replace? What do they replace your knee? What, the actual knee they replace?
Yeah, knee joint replacement.
What do they replace it with? Like plastic?
I don't know. He said that.
Would you not know? If my knee was going to get replaced, Sharon, first question would be, what do you do? What do you make it with? Second question would be, can I keep the old knee?
No, you can't. It's, you know, they do it, and then they do it again in 10 years. So it's not something to look forward to.
No, no, no. And you're not allowed to keep your knee?
No.
It's your knee. I would demand my knee.
No, but what annoyed me with this assessor was...
Yes.
When I was at the assessment, I mean, he waffled on about how bad his working conditions were for his provider and how dark it was there at night and how lonely a place it was. And I was like, yeah, this bloke is a fruitcake.
Yeah.
And then he waffled on about how much he liked dogs, and I'm sitting there. And one of my practical assessment was...
Do you not like dogs, Sharon?
I've got three of my own.
Well, there he is making conversation.
Well, I would think he was doing...
What's that going to do with my medical assessment? I'm like...
Because he's trying to get you to say... He's trying to get you to say, oh, yeah, I like to walk my dogs miles and miles, and sometimes I run with them.
I wish I could.
Exactly.
I have a dog walker most days.
Exactly.
And it's but it was just, you know, to get across, you know, there was the film came out, I, Daniel Blake. We are all Daniel Blake.
This is the Ken Loach film.
Yeah.
The bloke who did Kez and Kathy Come Home. Yes. I've heard a lot about this film recently.
Yes.
And it's about a guy trying to get disability benefits, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's all true, believe me.
Yeah. And there's...
If you look on Facebook, our support group 4UP, you look at the hundreds and hundreds of people's comments of people who have been lied to deliberately, factual inaccuracies, blatant lies... by the healthcare provider and the DWP themselves. It's unacceptable.
Well, I know, and I know that people trying to claim benefits, and in particular, disability benefits, are struggling, and that's because the government doesn't care about you. I'm afraid.
No, they don't.
They don't, care about you because you can't make them any money, Sharon. So they're not interested in you.
Money. I heard a gem. This came from tabloid reporter. He told me that... everyone who's knocked back, the assessor gets £75.
Well, I don't know if I'd believe. I don't know if I'd believe
that.
I don't know if I believe that. But they do. But they do. They want to. They want to save money. And who was doing it? Because someone company was doing it, weren't they? And then they said, "Oh, actually, we can't. We can't do it anymore because they weren't up to the job."
Well, Atos.
Yeah, have Atos stopped doing it now?
Well, no, the charming gentleman who did mine was from them, and, you know, I think he did more issues than I had.
Oh, God blimey. Well, maybe that's it. Maybe they find, you know, for all you lot that can't work, they give you a job at Atos. Maybe that's how,
Well, yeah, maybe this is what the greatest game is.
So what are you living on then, Sharon?
Well, you know, you... just got to, like, struggle with what you've got at the moment. At the moment, I'm having the Disability Resource Centre advisor do my case for me, for my tribunal, because, you know me of old, as with the contaminated blood issue, I fight back, and I fight back very hard indeed. So, you know, heaven help them when I do get to that tribunal, because I'm fit to kill at the moment.
Well, no, don't, you can't let them know you're fit to kill, because then they'll go, well, she can work as an assassin. She can work as an assassin. We'll send her out for MI6.
Die
double O minus.
Yeah, but we'll send her out and get another Max Spears. That's what we'll do. That's what they'll do.
I know, but no, it's disgraceful.
Yeah, it's outrageous.
You know, when people who are, you know, disabled, who have a lot of medical problems, people like myself and others who are even worse off than me, you know, you're treated like a criminal, you're treated like a liar, you get your report back and you're absolutely astounded with factual inaccuracies and lies. I mean, how can somebody representing the DWP, a person in government office, lie?
Oh, because that person will be anonymous, will never get found again. It's like when you're on the phone to a call centre and the person spins you a yarn, or they... you ever had that where you phone up a call centre and they say... They just cut you off because they can't solve the problem. So they just cut you off because, you know, they know if you phone up again, you're going to speak to one or 500 people.
Yeah.
And I understand. Listen, because, you know, you may have heard me speaking about my mum, Sharon, and about, you know, her situation. And I understand why they have to be thorough, because there are, unfortunately, there are some dodgepots who will abuse the system.
Yeah.
But I never forget when my mum, she doesn't have to get assessed now for benefits and things. But she did a few years ago. She had to go every year. They would assess her every year, right?
Yeah, see, they're scrapping ESA assessments, but it's not for everyone. You know? I have long-term chronic illness.
Oh, exactly. She'd go every year, and she would get progressively worse every year. And every year I'd go... I go, does she need to come in? Because she's not going to get any better. Yeah. She's only going to get worse. And
but don't you think it's so debases and devalues a person's life. It actually makes you medically worse going through the stress of this.
Yes.
Because, you know, my mental health has suffered so much. I am an absolute bag of nerves at the moment. You know, my stress and anxiety and, you know, panic attacks have soared. Unnecessary.
Sharon.
Even my own GP said, Sharon, why was there any need for face-to-face?
Sharon, can I do something that will calm you down?
What?
And just breathe.
Mm. And explode.
No. Just calm down. Boo!
Oh!
Did that help?
What you lied.
Did that help, Sharon? Did that help?
No, but the chihuahua jumped 3 foot in the air.
So did I.
Oh, listen,
don't you think it is atrocious?
I think it's terrible. I think it's terrible, and people are dying because of it. You know, it's...
Because, you see, there's been so many people like me that have been put in the wrong category. Yes. I mean, when I went to see my advisors at Disability Resources in Dunstable, Pointers Road...
And they're good there.
And they're really good. And even he said to me, when I told him the bit about the DWP manager has put on there, because I asked for mandatory reconciliation, she's put, oh, you orientated yourself to the venue using a sat-nav. And I thought,
is
a woman on drugs? Is she hallucinating? I took a taxi there and a taxi back.
They
even
ticked
the taxi
a box,
driver
didn't
did
they?
Not have a sat-nav, because we got lost kids.
Sharon, when is your appeal?
I don't know.
You're in the system.
Because you have to wait. So
you're in the system.
In the system, yeah. But the Disability Resources are confident that, you know, it will be overturned and we'll get some justice.
I appreciate you sharing this with us, and I'm sure it will have touched a lot of people. Let us know how it goes and we'll keep our fingers crossed.
There are people in my situation. To them I say, fight back and fight back hard. Don't let them get away with it.
Oh, I think that a lot of these government or council organisations kind of hope that most people will accept the first answer.
Yeah.
And they are not used to dealing with people who will reject the first answer, and they'll reject quite often the second and the third answer and keep on pushing.
Yeah.
Sharon, best of luck, and let us know how it goes.
Thank you.
Take care.
Yeah, you take care.
You're
darling.
A delightful.
Thank you for having me on the show.
You are a delightful fruitcake. Thank you very much indeed. And I knew she'd take that in the spirit that was intended, but wasn't she? Thank you, Sharon. It affects a lot of people. That, and I like tonight's show because it's been
all over the show.
Done issues.
Yeah.
We've done issues. The biggest issue is the biggest issue is the misuse of the tissues. The biggest issue is the misuse of the tissues. Tissues.
Okay.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
So this is the story that's intriguing me, right? And I heard about it. It was on Radio 4's PM with Eddie Mayer. And I heard a guy talking about it. And I'm trying to get this guy to come on the show. There's a phone call, please, Ed. I'm trying to get this guy to come on the show. Talk about this is the story. My UFO fan lover sacrificed to Satan. They've sensationalised it a bit here in the Sun. But a childhood pal of Orlando Bloom was sacrificed by Satanists as he investigated UFO conspiracy theories his girlfriend and mum claim. They say Max Spears, 39, fell in with a cult who pumped him full of drugs before he died in Warsaw, Poland in July. Conspiracy theorists, and this is where it gets interesting.
Go on.
Conspiracy theorist Max was found dead on a sofa in the city days after texting his mother to say, if anything happens to me, investigate. Come on. Come on.
Well, if he's a conspiracy theorist, he would have been saying that for quite a long time, wouldn't he?
No, but he only said it then. He'd only said it then, days before he was found dead.
He sent another message saying that he was in trouble or something, didn't he?
He was at a friend's house and a witness said, quote, there was dark liquid coming from his mouth. Max was genuinely fascinated by this. And the guy, I've emailed the guy, actually the email bounced back. Yeah, the email bounced back. Miles. I've tried to befriend him on Facebook and he's not accepted the friend request yet. Miles Johnston, I think he's that. Johnston. Max was presumed by the Polish authorities to have died from natural causes, with suggestions he had a peptic ulcer. But his family believe his probes into UFOs and government cover-ups made him enemies who wanted him dead. Max's girlfriend, Sarah Adams, 31, of Deal in Kent, claims he was being held against his will. She said he was terrified. He wanted to leave. He wanted to come back to England because we were going to get married and have a baby. He rang secretly as they wouldn't let him talk. He said he was trying to get away from them. They were doing very dark black magic and satanic rituals to deprogram him and get rid of demons. He said they had given him something that had put him in a coma for 2 days.
Gosh.
And that's spooky.
The thing is, right, a year ago, 2 years ago, I wouldn't have believed a word of that.
Yeah.
Nowadays, I don't discount anything.
Mum says that when she spoke to a member of the group on the phone hours after his death, I'm genuinely getting goosebumps here, she overheard them setting up a satanic ritual. Vanessa said his body was there and I could hear strange suggestions. Vanessa's the mum. Of things that should be done. Things like put milk by his side and get garlic and put flowers and put vinegar. Very weird. One of UFO expert Max's group sent Vanessa a photo taken within hours of his death on his body. Within hours of his death of his body with a red mark on his forehead. The same woman sent her snaps of him in a coffin wearing a silk suit and later posted her a satanic book along with his mobile phone SIM card. The bizarre book, Sacrifice, Magic Behind the Mic. I want to get this book. Accuses rappers, including Kanye West, of involvement with the occult. But Vanessa interpreted it as a threatening gesture designed to intimidate her as she battles for an inquest into her son's death. That is spooky.
An inquest. Why won't they give him an inquest?
Okay, well, I'll stop there because the next two paragraphs are a bit boring. But Max was buried in Canterbury Cemetery after Vanessa had his body flown home. A post-mortem was carried out, but the results were inconclusive.
Mm.
Northeast Kent Coroner's Office said, when the results of further tests are received, the coroner will decide whether to hold an inquest. Now, that is spooky.
It's right? Weird, isn't it?
And I'm trying to get hold of this guy, this Max, Miles Johnston, who was being interviewed. And this is how serious it's been taken. He was being interviewed on PM, on Radio 4, which is a very serious news show.
I saw it on the news.
And I heard it, and I just thought it was fascinating. And I hadn't heard anything about this guy before. But that is a spooky story, isn't it?
Mm.
So we'll try and get this Miles Johnston on the show, who I think was a friend of Max's, to talk about it.
Even if you don't believe in the whole UFO thing and, you know, he may have stumbled into something
yep.
in the course of his investigations that put him in the frame for something bigger.
I'm going to take an ad break. We'll come back and speak to Julie. During the ad break, I'm going to see if I can get that book, Sacrifice, Magic Behind the Mic. I want to read about Kanye West doing Black
Didn't
Magic.
Didn't someone come on the other day and tell us that they knew about rappers doing various things?
No, we saw something on Facebook about how rappers all forced gay sex with each other.
Wasn't that the guy who believed that the earth was flat as well? Yeah.
Yes.
Late Night Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Okay, well, that book is actually quite expensive. I'm not prepared to spend £7. But that then led me to another book, which is only 19 pence, and I am prepared to spend that. The Covert War Against Rock. What You Don't Know About the Deaths of Jim Morrison, Tupac, Michael Hutchence, Jimi Hendrix, John Lennon, and the Notorious B.I.G. I'm prepared to invest 19 pence.
Does the Notorious B.I.G. fall into the category of rock?
Well, hang on, what's cheaper? £2.98, and that's the price and the delivery, or 19 pence plus £2.80 postage. I hate it when they do it.
First 90... one.
Is that one from the UK? Oh, I hate... I'm afraid... Hang on a minute. I think that's... You've got to pay postage. Oh, it's all getting confusing. Julie!
Hello.
Julie. Yes, Julie. What you got for us?
Do you know what? I thought that I could last the whole programme without phoning in about the comment made about the girl in the Cheds Evans case.
Oh, yeah.
And ever since I heard it, I've just been stewing
yes.
at how outright awful it was of the presenter this morning to say that.
In fairness, the presenter who said that isn't here. And I've seen it on her Twitter feed. I don't really want to kind of go off on a rant against her because she's...
No, exactly. I don't want to either. And the only thing that I would like to do is just to redress balance. I would hope that tomorrow I'm going to just read a paragraph, just one paragraph from the Telegraph.
Okay.
And would maybe like her to assess... this behaviour is.
I'm having great trouble trying to... Sorry, I'm trying to order this book and it's charging me a lot of money for postage and I don't want to pay... Anyway, sorry, carry on. I'm listening.
So all I want to read is the behaviour involved by the other party, which is...
Well,
that,
I don't think...
No?
I tell you what, because we don't need to... I don't think... And listen, no one comes out of that story with glory, right?
No, they don't. I just...
I don't want to get into the murky details of who did what and who entered the room at what point and then joined in with... You know, because it's all out there for people to find.
Okay, but in which case, I would like her to... I don't know. I just feel it's unjust... to comment on one person without...
No. Well, her defence is that she called them all it.
Yeah, but she did. But if you read her Twitter feed, it seems to be aimed at this thing. And I think it just saddens me that what some people will do to try and get a little bit of attention, you know, when Katie Hopkins comes along and steals your thunder and you're trying to catch up with that. It's not a race I want to be involved in, man.
No, absolutely.
I don't want to be chasing that kind of... that kind of stuff. Now, hang on a minute. So I'm trying to order this book, right? And it was £2. It's trying to charge me £2.99 for the postage, right? I'm backing out of this deal, right? Let me empty my basket.
Come on, it's probably going to be pony anyway.
Shut up, man. What are you talking about?
Well, is it from a famous site for ordering books?
Yeah.
The most famous, I would suggest.
It's Amazon. I don't want to pay postage. Right, what I'm going to do? Hang on a minute. It doesn't sound pony. It sounds absolutely brilliant.
Let's just remind ourselves. What's it called?
It's called The Covert War Against Rock and the Truth Behind the Deaths of many rock stars.
Okay.
So Covert...
It's going to be pony.
It won't be pony. Melanie's coming up soon. We're going to listen to Melanie. Oh, now the
Covert War Against Rock.
Oh, now because I've been messing around with it. Now the price has gone up. Flipping heck is all
I'm going to have a look and see what it is on mine.
It's a good book, I bet. Super. Right. 19 pence plus £2.80 delivery. Right, that's what I want. So that should cost me no more than £2.99. Proceed to checkout. Perfect. Why couldn't we do that first time? Done. There we go. Ordered. Beautiful. Looking forward to that. That's going to be a good read.
Let me know what it's like.
I will do, Julie. I'll send it on to you if it's any good.
Please.
Cheers, my dears. Ta-ta. We don't need to go into the details of that whole situation. But thank you, Julie. I appreciate the sentiment behind that. No, don't call in anyone. Now, we've done for callers. Phil Collins going on tour. I don't want to see him on tour, but I would like to read his book. So could you blag one for us?
I'll have a little go.
Phil Collins has admitted he'll be too creaky to play the drums on his comeback tour. Well, he's not creaky. He's damaged his back, didn't he? And he can't grip properly with his right hand. He has to tape the drumstick to his hand. Phil, 65, will appear for 5 nights at London's Royal Albert Hall next June, after a decade away, before dates in Paris and Cologne. His son, Nicholas, 15, will step in on the drums. Hey,
sweet.
That's good, isn't it, hey? Bring your kid to work day. Former Genesis star Phil said, I don't think I'll ever be able to play the way I used to. It's a bit of a mystery. I'm 65 and I've been playing since I was 5. 60 years of drumming, messed up my back and hips. Now, I find Phil Collins fascinating because, there was an interview with him. He's got back together with his second wife. Mm-hmm. But she's still married to someone.
Yeah, and her ex-husband is causing him problems, isn't
he? Yeah. But he lives in Miami because he wanted to be near some of his kids. But he hates Miami. He says it's too hot. And I was reading an interview with him in one of the Sunday colour supplements. And he talks about how he nearly died of boozing and stuff. He's a weird one, Phil Collins, isn't he?
Well, having seen him in concert...
Oh, have you?
At Nebworth.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I thought he came over really likeable charismatic, and he's a showman. And then during the sort of 90s, he was public enemy number one, wasn't he, for dumping his wife by text?
Except he didn't. It was facts. I mean, he didn't. He says he didn't.
That was why everyone thought it was a bit of a joke.
But he's very popular with black artists in America, which seems really weird, but a lot of the like rap artists and black musicians cite him as an inspiration, because when MTV started, he was on MTV all the flipping time. You know, he was there at that time. So that is what they grew up watching. You know, it was Phil Collins.
And he's done some tunes as well.
Well.
Studio. Invisible Touch, that's a tune.
She seems to have an invisible touch, yeah. And, yeah, those two are good. Okay. Break.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Right, well, listen, we are coming to the end of this show, but there's another 20 minutes, I hear you scream and cry, and you're absolutely right. We sometimes pre-record interviews, quite often with people in America, because they're all funny time zones. Normally we can make it work that we can if we can speak to them at the top of the show or something, but we can't always pull that off. And we've got an interview coming up with John Lydon, which is absolutely charming and delightful. But tonight we're going to play you an interview with Melanie. Melanie, of course, sang, I've got a brand new pair of roller skates, I'll give you the key. But she did another song. If you want to go and have a listen to some of her stuff, then go and listen to her version of Caroline in My Mind by James Taylor. It's just wonderful. It was a slightly tricky interview because, you know, she wasn't particularly forthcoming with the answers, but some people are like that, you know, and it was I found her charming and delightful. So sit back and enjoy me speaking to Melanie. Hello, Melanie.
Hello.
Hey, you can hear me. That's fantastic. How are you doing? You're
beautiful.
All
right? Just like you're right next door.
It's wonderful. Thank you so much. It's such a thrill to talk to you, Melanie. What are you up to at the moment? What does your typical day involve?
I'm in Los Angeles reconnecting with people I haven't been involved with for 30 years or so.
Yeah.
And, LA has been very, it's been suiting me right now. And I'm writing, of course, I always write. I write all the time. I write prose and I write songs and... someday you'll hear all of it.
Well, this is what I'm hoping. I'm glad you're saying you're writing songs. How far away is the guitar from you? Do you play the guitar every day?
Right now, it's about 10 feet.
Fantastic. And does it constantly travel with you?
Oh yeah, I couldn't be without one. Definitely.
Your career, I find absolutely fascinating because you're one of the few stars. You're like Elvis, or so, where we know you by just the name Melanie is just enough to conjure up this image, you know, of this wonderful kind of.
Well, there have been several since, but I really appreciate you knowing me by my one name, status, Melanie.
Well, it's a rarity. There aren't that many stars where that one name just conjures up everything. How did you get into music, Melanie? What was the first song you heard that kind of affected you?
Oh, gosh. My mom was a jazz singer, and there was music in my environment since I can remember. And I think Dance Ballerina Dance was Nat King Cole.
Yeah.
Sang it. I have a strong memory of that song, and I think it's one of the first that... Oh, no, My Funny Valentine is one of the first songs my grandmother said I sang. And then my mom, because I was just sang everything and in pitch and everything, my mom thought I was the next Shirley Temple.
Wow.
Yeah, really. That was a long shot. So she took me for tap dancing lessons, which in my recollection is kind of funny because I'm such not a dancer. I love moving, you know, but I have my own little way of moving. And learning tap dancing was kind of funny. I remember brush, brush, step, and I loved the noise the shoes made. But other than that, I was a complete failure.
When you see, you know, a proper tap, doing it at speed, it's an amazing skill. But yeah, it takes a lot of work. When did you first pick up the guitar, Melanie?
Well, the ukulele was in my house.
Right.
And my uncle had a guitar, but that was too big. So I learned first on a ukulele. It was a baritone ukulele. It wasn't one of those silly little ukuleles.
Yeah.
but it was, you know, a baritone, which was kind of the size of a child's guitar.
Yeah.
You know. And I started that.
And it felt comfortable. You kind of connected with it early on, did you?
Early on.
How old would you have been, do you think?
4 was when I have a recollection of being put on a talent show with my mother. It was siblings and, you know, it's a duo. You
yeah.
You have to be in the family. And we won second runner-up.
Who beat you?
A black man and his son.
Okay.
And I was with my mom, and I won a Tiny Tears doll. And that was
fantastic.
To me, like, this probably was the early incentive for being in the music business. You know, it's like, you can get things like this.
You can get as many Tiny Tears dolls as you want. Your voice is unique, and it's one of those, again, it's one of those voices, as soon as you hear it, you know, you know exactly who it is that's singing. How did you develop your style?
Well, it's interesting because my role models were, Billie Holiday and Peggy Lee and my mom and then later Joan Baez, and I went out to imitate all of them and got it wrong. You know? I always had a very gravelly sort of voice, and so even as a child, it was a little less than pretty. But you know, to me, singing has nothing to do with making a pretty sound, because you can learn how to do that.
Yeah.
To me, it's like it's a way to express something that's deeply personal and inside yourself, and my voice suited it just right.
Do you not think that your voice is pretty, then?
I wouldn't call it pretty, no.
Really? That surprises me, because there is something... I'm trying to find the right words. I would say it's beautiful, it's unique. Aww. There's something childlike about it as well.
Yeah, yeah. Again, I think it's also expressive, you know.
Yeah.
It interprets things from your inner deepest self. So there's unfortunately too much child in me.
It's good. My favorite album of yours is Live at Carnegie Hall. And it's just so joyful to hear, you know, your voice it playing that huge place and people singing along with you and
oh yeah,
that must have been a lot of fun. Do you still get fun doing concerts?
Oh, that's my main motivation.
Yeah,
I certainly don't like the stuff in between. It's just getting out there and. You know, if I could be popped right onto the theater stage and popped right back and popped right up. But it's all that stuff in between that's, you know.
I heard someone else, I can't remember who, but another singer saying they get paid for the travelling and they do the concerts for free. But it's the bits on the aeroplanes
so
and in the
perfect.
Hotels.
Perfect description. Absolutely.
What do you remember about that Carnegie Hall concert? Because it's such a lovely album.
Well, you know, because it's recorded, it's probably difficult to extract my memory from what I hear. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I know it was really magical, and we recorded it, thank God, so we have it. But, you know, I was doing so many concerts that I could probably mix it up with... you know, live at Morecambe or something. I don't know.
I bet you can't mix up. I mean, one of the other the famous concerts, of course, was the Isle of Wight Festival. In 1970, was that?
Your guess is better than mine.
Something, is 70 or 71?
Yeah. It was, I know it was with Jimi Hendrix, and I know it was his last festival. And we actually went back on to New York on the same plane.
Wow. What was he like?
Well, on the plane, you know, he was... I don't really know. I didn't go home with him. But I did travel that whole way, and we did talk, and we were both in the first-class cabin.
Yeah.
And at that point, there was a lot of them against us, kind of. You know, we were the hippies.
Oh.
There were these few businessmen who had a little too much to drink, and they were a little too vocal. And I actually was defending Jimi Hendrix.
Wow!
He was sort of like, oh, don't worry about it, don't worry about it.
What were they upset about? What, because he was black, or because he was an you were extravagant rock stars?
We were both, you know, pretty odd, you know, people in first class.
Yeah.
It was all suits and business, and there we were, you know.
It is the Isle of Wight Festival. I've seen the film of it, and it's a stunning film. And I mean, God knows how many people there, 150, 200,000, I don't know, something ridiculous.
Yeah.
And your voice, you know, your voice that I think is beautiful, and you say isn't pretty, but your voice,
well,
filling
beautiful
that...
Beautiful is different than pretty,
yes.
I guess.
You're right.
I'll take beautiful.
Okay.
Things.
But it, you know, it's playing that huge festival, that must have been, I don't know, was it terrifying?
Well, you know, I wasn't as terrified anymore because I had already done Woodstock.
I suppose so, yeah.
And
yeah.
So I was I wouldn't say seasoned, but I had that, and I knew I didn't get stoned to death or anything. So, I mean, that was when I first, I mean, I couldn't imagine getting up in front of all those people and, you know, doing just by myself with a guitar, and I didn't have any songs that were well known, but it was the whole people were so receptive.
Yeah.
You know, that, and even though it was, I followed The Who, which
wow,
was that? Yeah, that was the one where
the Isle of Wight.
Keith
yeah, gosh.
Moon, Keith Moon introduced me to the audience because they had played hours into the night, and then by the time they broke the set stage down, nobody wanted to follow The Who. I mean, Jim Morrison actually physically ran. They were trying to get him to get, you know, to follow The Who. And I don't know, I just said sure, not knowing what I was doing probably, and they, you know, I was on, but Keith Moon did introduce me. It was dawn night when I finally got up, and most everyone was sleeping, you know, so little by little I saw heads pop up and sunrise, and it was so perfect, you know, and again, I resonated with the people there. I welcomed them to the next day.
My favourite song, and it's an obvious choice, but it really is. It's the first song I heard of yours, or the first song I was aware was you. The James Taylor song, Carolina in My Mind. I love that. How did you come across that?
Well, you know, it's funny. He wasn't well known.
No.
I was, you know, I think I was doing one of those radio shows where you pick your favourite songs, and I played him on the radio, and I loved that particular song, and I haven't done that many versions of other people's songs. I did, of course, Ruby Tuesday.
Yeah.
Some people even think I wrote that song.
Wow.
They identify, well, in other countries, they don't know, you know. I just really loved that particular song, you know, the imagery, and I thought he was a brilliant writer and had promise.
Yeah. just a little bit of promise. He wasn't bad, that James Taylor.
No.
He could do a few good songs.
There were other people who had promise and you never heard of them again.
And you're still writing songs. Are you recording more songs, Melanie? Are we going to hear something soon?
Yes, I record all the time. I don't have a big giant machine behind me.
No.
You know, I when I announce to the world, it tends to go to smaller places than the world. But I'm, you know, that's why I'm in LA. I need to change that. So I'm shouting my heart out, and people have to hear that. I've got to get back to England.
Well, I was going to say, when are you coming back? Because it's been a while.
Am I coming back? Good question. I'm planning on coming back this year.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, brilliant.
Oh, and when, I don't know, but we're going to do it. You know.
Oh, well, Melanie, if you come over, then I'm going to make sure that my producer, Catherine, and myself, we come along, we say hello, and we come and see some of your shows, because I would absolutely love to see you in concert.
Definitely.
Melanie,
okay.
It's so nice to talk to you, and it's so nice to hear your voice and to know that you're still enjoying it and you're still writing songs, and long may that continue.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.